ground.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Tonight, I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You hear the drums? You hear the drums beating? You hear the drums? Because they are pounding. I'm talking about the war drums. Talking about the war drums. That's right. I'm talking about the drums of war being beaten on by the worst kid in the class, ADD. Dishonest bully. They're trying to get us into the war with Iran. They're trying to get us, boy George is trying to take us into a war with Iran. And these are frightening times. The media and the same media that said they learned their lesson from the reporting that they did on Iraq that was untrue. They learned their lesson, but they're still reporting at the top of the fold this crap about Iran. This is out of the Independent UK. The United States is moving closer to a war with Iran by accusing the highest levels of the Iranian government of supplying sophisticated roadside bombs that have killed 170 troops, U.S. troops, and wounded 620. Jesus, we need to talk about this. Stay with me.
Thank you.
Clay won the 2005 Tony Award and the Pulitzer Prize.
Received universal rave.
And became the biggest sensation Broadway has seen in years.
That play is Doubt, John Patrick Shanley's electrifying drama.
And now, in a very rare event, a smash hit play arrives here with its original Tony-winning star, the incomparable Cherry Jones.
The New York Times raves, Doubt is the stuff of great art.
Entertainment Weekly gives it an A, cheering, this is a breathtaking play, and Cherry Jones is divine.
And the Washington Post calls Doubt a provocative drama that resonates profoundly with audiences.
Don't miss this truly rare chance to experience director Doug Hughes' powerhouse production of the play that has theatergoers buzzing long after the curtain falls.
With Cherry Jones, the star who is making theatrical history in the role of a lifetime.
The most talked about play of the year, Doubt.
Call for tickets today.
Coming to the Fox Theater February 20th through 25th. On sale now at the Fox and through Metrotix. Presented by the Repertory Theater of St. Louis.
Good morning, this is Liz Brown. And I just wanted to remind you that it's Black History Month, and that I have been invited by the Friends of Julia Davis Library to speak on the issue of St. Louis public schools and education. So come on by, drop on in on February 18th at 2:30 at Julia Davis Library. That's 4415 Natural Bridge. February 18th at 2:30. Come and listen to me. I'd love it if you were there.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
It all another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call, 1-877-920-WGNU. Did I say get up? Well, let me say it now. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to, much business. Keisha.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am outstanding.
You know, I'm one of your main supporters. I used to listen to you every morning, you know. But, you know, right now I just don't agree with you about Barack Obama.
Well, what is your position on Barack Obama?
You know what, I have to listen to him some more through when the debates come up and everything. But right now I like the guy. I like the way that he speaks and everything.
What does he say that you like?
I mean, what is it that you don't like about him?
Well, you're coming. I've already expressed many times what I've said about him. I'm trying to get what
really
you think.
I've never really had a chance to hear what you don't like about him.
Okay,
you
well, again.
Things that you dislike about him?
Again, I want to know why you like this person.
Well, first of all, I think that he's for affirmative action and everything, because he doesn't want to get rid of affirmative action, because I was told that you believe that he wanted to do that. Is that true?
Actually, what he said in his book is that affirmative race-based programs and policies should not be there. He said that
I have some different quotes than that, and I can send that to you. Email that over to you. Would that be okay?
Certainly. You have different quotes from what?
From something that I put up off the internet that he had said, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you can most certainly email that to me.
I still love your show and everything, you know.
Well,
but,
this isn't.
We're not supposed to vote for him. Who are we supposed to vote for? Hillary?
Okay, I didn't say not. Keisha.
No, what I'm asking you.
Keisha, I'm trying to answer your question.
Oh, okay.
So let me answer your question. I have never said, don't vote for Barack Obama. I've never said that.
Okay, what I
let me finish.
Okay.
I have never said do not vote for Barack Obama. What I have said is that I have some concerns about him.
Okay.
And they're based on things that he has said. They are based on votes that he has taken. They are based on inconsistencies between the words and the votes that he has taken. They are also based upon, they're based on all of those things. I have said about Hillary Clinton that I do not believe that Hillary Clinton should be president of the United States because of her warring policies, because she was asked at the beginning of this war to stand down, and she has been more hawkish than men have been. Many men have been on that. She has refused to say that she was wrong for voting for the war. So, and there are and she or her husband did not advocate or push for the issues for the community of African descent that they have been wrongly given credit for. Yesterday, I was listening to a candidate that was running for that is running for the presidency, Dennis Kucinich,
up in Ohio.
And Dennis Kucinich is saying, and one of the things that Dennis Kucinich has done, he has spoken out against this war 5 years ago. What he said about this war is exactly what is true about this war. He said it 5 years ago. He has given hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of speeches about it. And the other piece of this, and he also articulates social justice program or issues from a consistent way. And one of the things that Kucinich has done, and Obama has not done, every time a spending measure that has come up to support this war,
He
voted against any spending.
Right.
And Obama has voted for every spending measure that has been used to further this war. So you have to ask yourself with politicians or with anybody, okay, you say that you believe this. What are the actions that you have engaged in that are consistent with what you say that you believe? Obama gave a speech as a legislator in Illinois against this war. He said that it was wrong and all of these things. But yet and still, when he got into the United States Senate, he's voted for every spending measure on this war. You have to ask yourself the question, is he being political or is he being honest about what he believes in this war?
Okay, well, can we just see in the debates, though, you know, when these debates come out? And I do, you know, it says, I mean, I don't believe in anything with this war. I think they need to cut off funding and everything.
But here is my thing. I'm not waiting until the debates to decide. I think that's the worst way to decide what your position is on a candidate. A debate is one of the worst ways. If that's what you're basing your decision upon, you have to read about people. You have to read what they say, and you have to look at their votes. Barack Obama has engaged in some votes that are very, very, very problematic and inconsistent with the rep that he has. He's voting for the bankruptcy bill, voting for the so-called energy bill that gave all these tax credits to these companies, voting for issues that are about the people that contribute to his campaign. He's not new. I mean, what he's doing is what other people are doing. And all I'm saying is that if I'm going to vote for a candidate that is of African descent, then they better be a candidate of African descent that articulates, prioritizes, and delivers on my issues, doesn't do like everybody else. Otherwise, I'm judging you like everybody else. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to use your skin color to get me to vote for you when your record is just as bad or, in some cases, worse than other people.
What, did you see those two South Carolina lawmakers endorse Hillary Clinton?
No. Mm-mm.
Trying to think, it was two congressmen that endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Okay, and?
And I just don't want to see her as my president of the United States.
Well,
I don't.
And then there are other people that are running. John Edwards is running as well.
Yeah, I like Edwards. I do like Edwards.
And again, for me, Obama, because you are of African descent, I'm going to look at you hard, and I want to love you, and I want to embrace you, and I want you to be the things that you need to be. If you are not, you're judged like everybody else. Right. Thanks for your call, Keisha.
Okay, Liz, you know, I really do enjoy your show. I do. I love your show.
Thank you so much, Keisha.
I have for the last couple of years when I started listening to you. But, you know, I just right now I think that I'm just going to stick with Barack Obama, you know. But
all I'm
asking, I'm going to use some of his issues over the Internet on some of the bills that he's
passed. And all I would say is, all I would say is, don't commit at this point in time.
Right.
You don't know enough to commit.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I think it
you
is too early
enough.
To commit
yeah,
to one candidate to listen to the points of all the other candidates.
That's right. It's too early to commit.
Right.
I want him to be everything, too, but it's way too early
yeah,
to commit.
Yeah, because we got up until, what, next year to vote for the primaries. So.
2008.
That's right.
All right, Keisha.
And people can make changes up into before the
well,
meetings,
and then the,
right?
cause, no, well, to me, Keisha, is... When a politician makes a change in the course of running for an office, do you really trust that you're changing? Do you really trust, or are you just calculating to try to get my vote?
Well,
I mean, that's the question we got to ask.
Yeah,
you
that's
mean,
true.
Now, you know, you got to ask the question. If you're just changing now, then you sweet talking me. You sweet talking me. That ain't who you are.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, but
you're standing
a really great chance, and I just don't want to see her win.
Oh, well, trust me. America's not electing a woman president.
Trust me.
All right, got to roll.
God bless you, okay?
All right, God bless you. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you know what? This Barack Obama thing is making me sick. It really is. You had a caller yesterday, a male caller, that called in about Obama who said that he didn't represent us. And that definitely made my year. I love that what he said. First of all, for everybody who's listening out there, get off this Barack Obama wagon. He does not represent us, period, meaning the middle and low class. Everybody, just because they have a black face, that means, okay, vote for them. If they've done one thing, that makes them valid. I'm not saying Hillary Clinton, Edwards, none of them represents us. We don't have nobody, whether you're white, black, whatever color, that really represents the interests of black people at heart, real interests.
Okay, and I agree, people of African descent, but I would say, Tim, look at what Dennis Kucinich is saying, and look at what Dennis Kucinich has done.
Okay.
He is a person, the oldest of, like, I guess, 9 kids. Father was a truck driver. His family never owned a home.
Okay.
Rented a home their whole life. He and his family lived in their car for a while. He talks about, honest to goodness, I was listening to him yesterday, and I didn't know who this presidential candidate was. He talked about social justice issues that he had been supporting his entire time in Congress. He talked about, again, being against this war 5 years ago when he ran for the presidency the last time. He said everything about this war that he has said was true. He said, I don't believe in a minimum wage. There should be a living wage for people. There are people that should be making $10 an hour. That's what I believe that there should be. There should be universal health care for people. He talked about the racism of the war. He talked about the occupation by this country. He talked about the failure of this country to engage in leadership, to engage in diplomatic. He also said something. He said, meaning the United States, do not have a right to go into somebody's country and tell them how to live. Who's saying that?
Well, nobody's saying it, but I agree with it. But it's my whole thing. But once they get in office, I mean, you got thousands and, I mean, millions of black men and women that are locked up in prisons. Nobody's talking about that. None of the candidates are talking about that 5 years ago or now.
Well, actually, 5 years ago. Wait a minute. Sharpton was talking about it 5 years ago.
Who?
Sharpton was talking about men and black men in prison. Yes, he was.
Well, I just want to let the last thing before I get off. Everybody's out there who's with this on this Barack Obama trail.
Get off the train.
Thank you.
Get off the train and at least look around. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for the 6:30 edition of the Wake Up Call. Westbound 70 between Mid Rivers Mall and 79. Look for an accident at 79. It's causing traffic to be stop and go there. Eastbound 255 from Lemay Ferry through Lindbergh. Look for an accident left lane block that's near Lindbergh. It's got stop and go traffic there. Eastbound 70 from 94 through 5th Street. Look for two left lanes blocked as there's an accident just before 5th Street. Westbound 270 from 170 through Lindbergh. Look for some delays due to an accident. Left lanes blocked. That's at Lindbergh. Eastbound 40 from Weldon Spring through Highway K. Look for an accident that has traffic slowed down around the Weldon Springs mark. Westbound 70 between Lucas and Hunt and Florissant. Look for a delay as you've got an accident. Two lanes are blocked, and that's at Florissant Avenue. Westbound 40 between Long Road and Chesterfield Mall or Chesterfield Airport. Look for an accident that's near Chesterfield Airport Road. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road through 79. Look for traffic to be building there. Eastbound 40 from Maryville Center through Mason Road. Look for some delays. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for some delays as it's starting to build mid-span. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well from mid-span on into the landing. And westbound 40 from 270 onto Mason. Look for a disabled vehicle that's at the ramp to Mason Road, and that's causing some delays. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies, high around 20. North wind will be around 10 to 15 miles per hour for this evening. Mostly cloudy, chance of flurries with a low around 10. For Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, then becoming partly sunny throughout the day, but it'll be deceiving as the high will only be around the 20-degree mark. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, low around 5. And then on Friday, not quite as cold, partly cloudy with a high in the 30s. Currently, at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 14 degrees, but with the wind chill, it makes it feel like it's about 2 degrees outside. It's under scattered clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And I just wanted to remind you that it's Black History Month, and that I have been invited by the Friends of Julia Davis Library to speak on the issue of St. Louis Public Schools and education. So come on by, drop on in on February 18th at 2:30 at Julia Davis Library. That's 4415 Natural Bridge. February 18th at 2:30. Come and listen to me. I'd love it if you were there.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Bob.
Good morning, Miss Liz Brown. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Oh, I am outstanding. Liz, this is going to be, I can tell right now, this is going to be another I told you so, Liz. Let me tell you what I mean, but you got people calling in like, good night, and let's bless our hearts for a thing. Like the man yesterday. Liz, what I think these people do is what happens when you're going out to your car and you're warming your car up and you wait, you hit the scan button, and then you come across stations and you get to you saying about a Barack. So therefore, they don't hear. When you get a person like me, take me, for instance. What I do, Liz, in the morning, when I wake up, after I read my Bible scriptures, it's about 5 minutes to six. I put my coffee on. Okay, I'm set for the Liz Brown Show. You got a million others like me that listen to you regularly, who's listened to your guest that you had on about Barack, who knows about Barack, who knows that Barack didn't even care about. This is a George Bush syndrome. He never even went to Katrina. They never even cared about it. If he cared so much about people, his first thing would have been trying to get to Katrina, trying to find out what's going on, what can he do to help. Only time he worried about that was right now when he knows he's running for election. So what's going to happen is, if he's elected, which, Liz, let me ask you a question. Do you think, for one thing, Caucasian people are going to stand for a black man to run the world? Come on, Liz, come on now. The few people that he got right now that's hurrying for him, that's fine. You got people right now making fun of his name, calling him a African, calling him all. They talk about him like a dog. Those are just the few he's got now. Those are the few. But when it comes time for election, Liz, it's funny. It's like when Jesse Jackson ran. I didn't want Jesse Jackson to make it, not because of anything, man. Because I didn't want to see him killed. I didn't want to see him killed. I was worried about him getting up there and then somebody trying to hurt him. That's the only thing. He probably would have done good. But the thing about that is,
well, and did you see the 60 Minutes spot with his wife? He was on, Barack Obama was on 60 Minutes with his wife. And they asked his wife that question, are you concerned about him being, killed? Okay. And she said, look, he could be killed as a black man in America by trying to catch a taxi. And Barack was sitting behind her.
Right.
And his face when she said that was almost like, oh Lord, don't say that no more. Don't say that no more. Because he wasn't like, He looked completely uncomfortable. Now, this is just my view of that. He didn't say I'm uncomfortable with that, but he didn't co-sign on that like one would say, yeah, she's right. Now, his wife gets it.
Right.
He don't think that way.
Come on, Liz. So what I'm saying is, I hear the people calling in saying, Liz, you got to just, I like the way you're keeping calm. Just let it ride out until when they start calling you back saying, Liz, you was right next year. Liz, you were right. Liz, you were right. Liz, you were right. Everything makes you, this guy don't even like black people. So, Liz, you're doing XT. Just chill out. Let them see it themselves. If they can't understand that this guy doesn't care nothing about, look at his voting record.
That's
like
right.
the poor little darling that just called, she doesn't understand, Liz, and I'm glad you were calm with her. But she'll learn. She'll come around, though.
Thanks for your call. Take
Thank
care
you,
now. 1-877-920-WGNU. Lee.
Yeah, what's happening, Liz?
What's up?
Yeah, you know, I feel like y'all giving Barack a hard time. You know what I mean?
I could see why you would say that.
Now, I ain't, you know, personally, I agree with the other caller that you just got through speaking with. It ain't a snowball's chance, and you know what, for a black man to be the president of the United States. It ain't going to happen no way. But at the same time, I mean, if you take somebody who's super hardcore pro-black, he'll never win the presidency anyway.
But he'll end it.
It ain't even a chance for him to win because.
But he would have run with honor. He would have run the race in honor and truth about who he is and what the issues that are important to this country are. I don't want a man that lies to me to get to another gig. I don't want that. I don't want that.
All politicians lie, Liz.
Oh, I don't know that anybody can say that, because all of anything. You can't make a statement about all of anything.
I'm committing an error, a logical error, like you can't take a particular and extend it to all.
That's correct.
But this is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you take a person, all right, now, I think radical in a certain sense. Like, you know, I read stuff about information from black authors like Chiak Anta Diop and Anthony Browder and Theophile Obenga and Ivan Van Sertima. Somebody thinking like that, they'll never become the president of the United States, but we need thinkers like that. But, I mean, America is a predominantly white country. And there is no way in the world, nobody, I don't care what color he is, if he's not catering to the interests of the larger group at hand, he'll never be the president. And then if they don't feel comfortable with the dude, then he'll still never be president.
So then why would you lie? If what you say is true, if what you say is that he will never be president, then why, good God, why would you lie then? Why wouldn't you say, this is who I am? If you know you're not going to get there anyway, at least you're involved with your honor and your dignity and the truth. Because the truth is in all of those authors that you just quoted. So you're saying that a person should run by saying that is not true, that those are not the most important issues, that something else is the most important issue, and hope to get elected to something that you're saying you can't get elected to anyway.
No, don't put words in my mouth, though, Liz. See, what I'm trying to say is this.
What are you trying to say?
I'm saying there's a practical way to at least have a chance at winning an election.
But you already said it can't be done.
Wait a minute, Liz. You got to let me finish. And then there's a way to affect social change by being like
by lying
a voice of dissent to those pressures.
Why do you
I mean, let's face it, this country is built on the blood of racism. You know what I'm saying? It's like a horror movie. Like the house is tainted.
But you keep saying the same thing with different words. You're saying that you gotta play a game to lose a race.
No, because
you're saying that you can't win, so you're saying play the game, be dishonest in the game that you're playing, try to trick them into a game that you're going to lose. I'm saying if you're going to lose the game, you might as well be honest about what are the real issues in this country.
But see, look, Liz, I don't know what that man thinks for real. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the average American person has no concept or what's really going on inside the chambers of Congress. I mean,
quickly, what's your point with that? The average person doesn't know. What's your point?
Okay, we don't really know what these people think, how they deliberate, and how they reach the conclusions that they reach when it comes time for voting.
So,
we don't know if they're doing it in exchange to get favors or nothing. We really don't know.
So what's your point?
We're too far removed from the political
process. What's your point? What's your point with that? So the conclusion, therefore, is what?
Okay, so the thing is, first of all, if the dude is black, and I don't care if you're Tiger Woods or if you're the most ordinary.
Okay,
black
I got that, got that, got that, got that.
You still gonna feel racist. You still gonna feel.
What is your point? What is your point?
Say it.
Say what your point is. Got it.
Okay,
he's black.
Well, my point is this: the man has to feel in some fashion, some way, the man has to feel the pressure of racism, and it will.
Have you ever heard of denial? Have you ever heard of denial? And have you ever read the record of Clarence Thomas?
That dude is an anomaly.
You think he's right there? Okay, all right. And again, you gotta ask.
You think that dude Clarence Thomas? I mean, I don't think nobody, Uncle Tom.
I don't use that phrase. He's a person that is really who is not about African issues. And it is clear that the fact of the matter is, you cannot say simply because a person is of African descent that they are going to have the interest, that they are going to have the concern or they are going to have the ability to acknowledge the world that they live in and the racism of the world that they live in. Everybody is not built like that. Every one of them will have experiences in this life, in this world, that reminds them of the racist world that they live in. But everybody is not built for battle. And the issue here is whether or not Barack Obama, the man of African descent, is built for the battle to address the issues that confront people of African descent on a daily basis. And from what I have seen, from what I have read, from what I have studied, from what I have observed, Barack Obama is not built for that battle. And if he's going to lose the race like you say he's going to lose the race, for God's sake, at least be honest about what the battle is. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after the break. Stay with me. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the Conspiracy Hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And I just wanted to remind you that it's Black History Month and that I have been invited by the Friends of Julia Davis Library to speak on the issue of St. Louis Public Schools and education. So come on by, drop on February 18th at 2:30 at Julia Davis Library. That's 4415 Natural Bridge. February 18th at 2:30. Come and listen to me. I'd love it if you were there.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Black and I'm proud. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. Zenobia.
Good morning, sister in the struggle.
Good morning, Z.
Yes, I heard you talking about the candidates for for the presidential election in 08, and you mentioned Dennis Kucinich.
Yes.
He is a little-known secret among
He's
a little-known secret among working people and poor people. This man has taken positions
in
support of poor people, working people, women. Let me tell you what he said that really just, I mean, it just startled me. They were talking about, in one of the presidential debates, the cutting of Social Security. You know, Bush had this momentum to check Social Security. So they asked him what would be his position on raising Social Security. He said, look, let me tell you, I would not only not raise it any higher, I would lower it to what it was, 65, because, you know, under the Clinton administration,
Social
Security went up,
Right. And let me explain to the listeners what you're talking about. The year that you begin to receive Social Security. So Dennis Kucinich was saying, I would lower it back to 65 like it was before Clinton raised the age.
Right. So this man has been on target with dealing with issues, you know, progressive issues, issues of working class and poor and women and all. But this really cute. The media has playing the role of putting the attention on Obama. That takes it away from these real progressive issues.
That's right.
And so that's all a part of their plan and their scheme. Because Obama is like the middle of the road. He's like center.
He's right. He is right. He is not center. He's right.
In fact, I think it was he did vote for that bankruptcy
bill. That's correct.
Right. I mean, and that, you know, a couple of years ago, I had the experience with my parents, my mom, to go that route. And I'm so glad that we did. Then, because she probably wouldn't be able to do it.
That's right. Thanks for your call, Z.
Okay, we have a beautiful day.
You
be
too.
Be careful out there.
Yes, ma'am. You too.
Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning.
Chuck. Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
You're in my head this morning. You woke me up with it. You know, I've been watching some of these candidates and things, and, of course, Dennis Kucinich sprang out.
Mm-hmm.
He, from what I can see at this point, and they're even mentioning it on the interviews and things of that nature. I even watched him yesterday on C-SPAN, the debate on Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
He's closer than anybody I see out there
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
Edwards, I don't know. Baraka, I'm very, very unsure of. But he has been there. He threw his hat in the ring the last time. He didn't make it. He's a mousy-looking little guy.
And that's the other issue of him.
He doesn't put on the appearance.
No, he doesn't. He does not look like what Hollywood and what the world says
Absolutely.
That you should look like. You know, he hasn't. I've been writing to a number of progressive people out here in the internet world,
mm-hmm.
and everybody says, you know, well, Kucinich is not going to win. He's not going to win. He's not
mm-hmm.
going to win. But the issues that he articulates and the position and the history of the positions.
Yeah.
Barack Obama did a beautiful speech when he was in the legislature in Illinois. A beautiful speech against the war. But yet, he voted to fund it every chance that he
yeah.
had.
Yeah, well,
so,
this guy has not.
You know, this guy is not.
He has been consistently.
That's right.
Away from anything that goes up on there, and he's voting right in line with the people.
That's
pretty
right.
much.
That's right.
All of his votes.
That's right.
And we need to step back and take a serious look at this guy.
Thanks.
I mean, this time.
Thanks for your call, Chuck.
All right.
Take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. Andrew. Hello.
Good morning, Liz.
Andrew, good morning.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Hi.
And power is the people.
Thank you.
That last caller that was just talking about a black man ain't going to make it up to the top. You got to think positive, Liz.
Oh, that's what you think. If that's what you think, because the fact of the matter, I believe all things are possible. I believe all things. They also said that
Nobody would show up for the meeting when Desi came to town about our schools. They also, you know, I mean, they also said that people of African descent are not going to kill the Jim Crow laws. They always say no.
Right.
That black
right.
folks can't do stuff.
It's just the power that's within people that what we need to gather and fight for that power.
But we also have to make certain that our energies are directed at the right one. Now, the right one, we don't ever want the wrong one to be put into place.
Well, we can't put the wrong one in there. You're right, Liz.
Mm-hmm.
We need the right,
that's right
one to guide us to the right direction.
That's correct.
Of the directions of the people.
That is correct.
But we don't have that today, so where are we going to stand at?
Okay. Well, and again, I'm looking at the candidates that are there. Okay, Barack Obama has not identified himself to anybody as the person that is about the issues that are of concern to people of African descent. I'm mad at you. I ain't mad at you, but
well,
okay, when you
I'm still voting on you to get in there and do something.
No. I am outside looking in and trying to keep folks honest. That's all.
I'm still keeping your faith in you.
Thank you, Andrew.
Have a good day.
Take care of yourself. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up and get to me. Bill.
Ms. Brown, good morning. I'll be brief. I like Obama, but I think his threshold has to
after
the primary if he comes out past the delegates that Jesse Jackson received in 88.
Why do
then
you only...
I'll take a different look at it. I like him now.
Why?
But if he surpasses Jesse's threshold for delegates, I'll take a more deeper look at the guy. I know a lot about the guy.
What do you like about
it? I also see him.
What do you like about
it? He's in the position as surrendering his votes to Hillary.
Well, what do you like about him?
I like his style. I'm a brother. I like his style.
His style?
That's right. I like his style.
The man's
educated. I guess the man, he would be the type of guy I would like to have for a son.
You like him, but you don't know anything about him. And you're already saying you'd like to have him as a son. You like the way he dresses? You like the way he carries himself?
I like what you said earlier, Ms. Brown, about a woman not being ready, America not being ready for a woman. They're not ready for a black man either. So,
well, that, there's no question about...
About Barack, does it make sense?
But I'm trying to get to what you said about
okay,
you like his style. No, well, is he?
He's against the war.
Is he?
Yes.
Why did he vote to fund it?
He's against the war.
Why did he vote
sometimes
to fund it?
Sometimes you just don't commit political suicide, Ms. Brown.
What?
All politicians.
What?
All politicians don't commit political suicide.
So if he is unwilling to say I'm against the war, what he gonna do for black folk? Because that's political suicide too. That's political suicide too.
War and the Georgia legislature refused to seat him.
I remember when Martin Luther King came out against the war and all the hell he caught because of it. But he said I'm gonna do
the floor as being against the war. Have a great day.
No, wait a minute. What he was up? See, don't you run from me? Run from me? Sometimes you just gotta lie. Huh? Huh? That's who I want. I like his style. I'd want him for a son. I know he lies. I'd want him for a son. Come on. You raise your children to be unchangeable in the face of adversity. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And you're supposed to say it. You're on a wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Shirley, good morning.
Hi, I like Puff Daddy's style, too, but I wouldn't vote for him.
There you go.
Okay, I'm calling to remind everybody about my aunt Myrtle French, who passed, committee woman in the 21st Ward.
Yes, ma'am.
And her wake will be Friday from 4 to 8 at Randall at 4600 National Bridge. And the funeral services will be Saturday at 10 a.m. at the same place, Randall.
Thank you so much for that, Shirley.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for staying up.
Okay. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, the wake-up call. The St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Peter Downs will not be joining me this morning, but it will return next week. I'll be here to take your calls and comments. Stay with me.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that's the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Greenwich News.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. You'll be doing a lot of that today. If you live in the Midwest into upstate New York and New England, a lot of shoveling where the latest winter snow has brought even more of the white stuff your way. Now, in the Mid-Atlantic states, the problem is sleet and freezing rain. This traffic reporter on radio station WMAL in Washington, D.C., has her work cut out for. And more on the storm now from ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
Snowplows in Indiana, gamely trying to keep ahead of the storm, which is dumping not just snow, but ice and sleet as well from Chicago to New York. Up and down the East Coast, weather forecasters in Boston, D.C., and New York all pretty much have the same message.
It's pretty messy out there.
Tricky as we head out and about your Valentine and stay indoors, I definitely suggest it because it is a messy morning.
It is a mess. In upstate New York, already buried deep in 12 feet of snow, more is falling. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Seidel is tracking the storm.
It's been the biggest storm so far this season here in the Midwest. Here in Cleveland, 10 to 15 inches before it wraps up sometime on Wednesday morning. Across a lot of the Midwest, winds have gusted up to 40 miles an hour, creating blizzard conditions.
Flying is pretty much a lost cause today. There are hundreds of delayed and canceled flights from Chicago heading eastward. There's more debate in the House today over a resolution that opposes the troop buildup in Iraq. It is expected to pass. A vote could come before the end of the month. A military official has confirmed to ABC News that radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has left Iraq and is now somewhere in Iran, but where he is in Iran, no one seems to know. Chrysler is getting ready to slam the brakes on a lot of jobs. That's what analysts are betting in the hours leading up to the carmaker's big announcement. It's expected to outline a new restructuring plan, which could eliminate about 10,000 hourly workers and about 1,500 salaried jobs. This is ABC News.
How are the tires on your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Is it time for new ones, or maybe just a rotation?
I can help.
No matter what your tire needs are, the smart choice is your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, purchase four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or a new iPod Nano. And that's not all. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase and we'll beat that price. Genuine Ford parts, Ford trained technicians, low prices. We've got everything your vehicle needs to be at its best.
You need a hand.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
An actor who's had women swooning for generations has been ordered to spend some quality time on a therapist's couch. Here's ABC's Dave Alpert.
Omar Sharif pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor battery charge for punching a parking attendant at a Beverly Hills restaurant. The 74-year-old actor was accused of making a racial slur and hitting the valet, who refused to accept his European currency. Sharif was placed on probation and ordered to attend 15 sessions of anger management counseling. Sharif is best known for his roles in Dr. Zhivago and Lawrence of Arabia. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Hollywood.
Chocolate is always nice, but if you want to be truly trendy on this Valentine's Day, get your sweetie a few pints of goat's milk ice cream. Yeah, you heard me right, goat's milk. Laura Howard can't keep the stuff in stock at a Northern California store. She says it does not taste like goat cheese. It tastes like really rich ice cream, and here's the good part. It's even a little lower in fat. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
This WGNU News report sponsored by Candy Bouquet, 620 North Skinker. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, winter weather struck the St. Louis area again yesterday, dropping several inches of ice and snow and causing numerous accidents and cancellations. A female pedestrian was hit and critically wounded on an entrance ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge. Another accident shut down traffic on I-70 in St. Charles County for over an hour, and a crash on Highway 40 stopped traffic on the east side of the Boone Bridge. Dozens of flights at Lambert Airport were delayed, and Amtrak canceled several trains as well. Here's a note out of Jefferson City. Governor Matt Blunt recently returned from a visit to Mexico, the state's second-largest trading partner. Blunt emphasized the importance of a Mexican customs port facility in Kansas City during his visit. Blunt says, quote, "It will create distribution jobs in Kansas City, improve export opportunities, and further enhance our trade relations with Mexico. The facility would be the first of its kind ever in the U.S. and would allow goods to be cleared through Kansas City instead of along the U.S.-Mexican border." And a college hoops note, SLU men's basketball. The Billikens travel to Rhode Island for a 6 o'clock tip-off tonight. The Billikens lead the series with the Rhode Island Rams 3-0 after this season's 62-58 victory at Scott Trade Center back in January. The Rams come into tonight's game the winners of 6 of their last 8 outings, Rhode Island's 15-10 overall, tied for the A-10 lead at 8-3 in league play. I'm Peyton Colston, and that's this hour's WGNU News Update. Remember, flowers are nice, balloons are okay. For a lasting impression, send a candy bouquet. Phone 314-863-CANDY or visit candybouquet.com for a location near you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 70 between Spencer Overpass and Mid Rivers Mall. Look for two right lanes blocked as there's an accident just before Mid Rivers Mall Drive. Eastbound 40 between 270 and McKnight. Look for an accident. Two lanes are blocked. That's just west of McKnight. Westbound 70 between Lucas and Hunt and Florissant Road. Look for an accident. Two lanes are blocked. One accident is at Bermuda. The other is at Florissant. So you actually have two different accidents there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Cave Springs. Look for ice buildup causing a number of people to spin out, so just watch what you're doing and give yourself a break, slow down, give yourself some extra time. Eastbound 255 from Lehigh Ferry through Lindbergh, look for an accident. It's been cleared, so traffic's easing there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for slow traffic. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is a little icy, so it's a little slow up at the top of the ramp. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into the landing looks good. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason, expect some slowdowns due to the winter driving conditions. Westbound 5570 at 64 split onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 44 through Doherty Ferry, look for slowdowns around the 44 interchange. Westbound 270 from West Florissant through Lindbergh, look for some delays due to an earlier accident. And eastbound 70 from 94 through 5th Street, you've got two left lanes blocked as an accident is still being cleared off at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For the Valentine's Day, partly sunny skies, high around 20 degrees with a north wind about 10 to 15 miles per hour. This evening, mostly cloudy, chance of flurries, low around 10. For Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, becoming partly sunny with a high around 20. Then on Friday, look forward to partly cloudy skies, a high in the lower 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies. Our current temperature is 13 degrees. The wind chill out there makes it feel like it's about 3 degrees. So bundle up if you're headed out to the bus stop. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution. revolution in the air. Feel the brothers talking to sun. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the brothers talking to sun. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel the brothers helping the same.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Normally, at this time, you would be hearing the St. Louis Public Schools Watch, but Peter Downs is out of town. But I do have an announcement to make with respect to the schools. It looks like we are not on the agenda of the State Board of Education. Remember, they were supposed to vote on, word on the street was they were going to vote on the issue of taking over our school district, fully taking away all of our, removing us, making us an unaccredited school district. That's the first step in taking us to a three-person nullification of our votes board. Looks like that's not going to happen. At least it's not on the agenda to be voted upon. There's a discussion on the agenda for the State Board of Education's meeting tomorrow. There's a discussion on their agenda. We made a difference. We made a difference. I am not certain. I will make a phone call during this break to find out if folks are still, if the bus is still leaving on Thursday. As you know, the school board meeting was canceled from yesterday because of the snow, and I don't know what's going to happen on Thursday. I will get a confirmation in my my first break here about the bus. But it's my understanding that we ain't on the agenda. How cool is that? Y'all did that. 1,200 people cannot be ignored. My name is Liz Brown. Oh, we'll be back. I know y'all want to talk some more about Obama. We'll be back. Stay with me.
Get a
free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New 2-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Hello, St. Louis. This is George Cotton.
And I'm Phil Wilson.
We're your hosts for The Real Deal with George and Seal.
Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
That's right. Tune in and you'll hear thought-provoking conversations and maybe something that'll make you mad.
Yeah, thought-provoking if they're listening to me. They'll get mad if they're listening to you.
Just the same, we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
4 to 5 p.m.
The Real Deal with George and Seal.
This is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And I just wanted to remind you that it's Black History Month, and that I have been invited by the Friends of Julia Davis Library to speak on the issue of St. Louis Public Schools and education. So come on by, drop on in on February 18th at 2:30 at Julia Davis Library. That's 4415 Natural Bridge. February 18th at 2:30. Come and listen to me. I'd love it if you were there.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Back. Oh, yeah, this is Liz Brown. You need to get to me. You need to get to me. 877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. Vernon, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How you doing?
I am outstanding, Vernon. How are you?
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? First, why are these people so easily distracted about some character named Barack Obama? There are so many other things that are more important to us that involve us directly, like public school, housing, medical care, the prescription. Why does everybody talk about?
In all fairness, I would say, I would not use your word distracted, but I would use this word of the reason why people are so easily connected to the decision of who should be the president of the United States.
Just
is because,
black.
Well, no, that it is that, but also people are taught in school. You see that on election after election. People are not taught in school how important the vote on the Board of Education is. They are not encouraged in school to make certain that they go out and vote in their aldermanic race. They are not taught that the quality of their life is directly in relationship to the quality of political leadership that you have on a local
there
level.
There you go.
And they're not taught that.
A lot of these clowns need to realize, because talking about, well, you like Obama, he's stylish or anything, I mean, so what? He's not going to make a difference in your life.
Well, I wouldn't be that harsh, Vernon. I would say that people, the reason people talk about it is because, I mean, George Bush, people understand George Bush has made a difference
George
in your
Bush
life.
And, all get out right now because all the limelight is off of him and all these
I would disagree with you, Vernon, because just feel this for a second. Right now in the United States Congress, there is a debate that is going on about this, about a non-binding resolution that says no to George Bush's request for a troop surge. Now, quiet as it is kept, the White House has desperately been trying to lobby Republican Congress people not to support this non-binding resolution, while at the same time saying it don't make any difference, it's a non-binding resolution. George Bush is getting chewed on from the Congress. He's getting chewed on from the Senate. He's getting chewed on from the world. There is a general that came out because George W. Bush is trying to bang the drum for Iran to get us to start a war in Iran. But a general, a United States general, came out and said, "Oh, y'all a lie. That stuff that you're trying to put on Iran, that's not true." George Bush is being what?
He's a Marine Corps general. I used to be in the Marine Corps.
How much of a chew on, how much of a hit, how devastating is that to Boy George? He is getting hit, and the only reason that general feels comfortable in coming out in 2007 on February 15th is because of what happened in the last election, what's happening with people's understanding of this war. It has been a process to get people to the place where they are willing to tell the truth and devil be damned on this.
And all you do now is tell some of these other people and all their little small minds about worrying about Obama. Later for Obama. Think about what's happening in your life today.
All right, Vernon. Thanks.
Have a good day here.
Take care of yourself. You too. You do the same. You know, Barack Obama, let us just be honest with ourselves. We want something. We want Barack Obama to be something that he has never said that he was. And ladies, in your own life, haven't you ever gone out with a man good looking, nice clothes, nice car, good job, kind. You want him, I mean, he's kind because he's bringing you flowers. He's talking stuff to you. And then a few weeks after all of that good stuff, then the real deal comes out. He's a slob. He has 15 other women. He doesn't want to commit. All of that stuff starts to come out, but in your head and your heart, you still want to try to make him into something that he's not. And how does that work out for you? You cannot make people into something that they're not. As the one caller said in the last hour, I like Barack Obama's style. Well, okay, he'll wear a nice suit when he pushes the red button. How'd that work out for us? You know, when he starts another war. And we have a responsibility to ask the questions, particularly when it's a person that we know is going to be a person of African descent. You got to ask him the questions. You know, it's not fill in the blank time. It's ask the question time. Because at this stage, in the year 2007, one would hope that we've learned enough, that we know enough, that we've seen enough, that we've experienced enough to know to ask the question. Senator Russell Feingold is not going to run for the presidency. Senator Russell Feingold dropped out of the race in January. He was the only presidential hopeful to call for a firm timetable for the bulk of U.S. troops to actually leave Iraq by July 2007. What is Obama's position? Anybody know? what Obama's position is? Well, let me tell you, since you don't know. A phased redeployment of U.S. troops from Iraq on a timetable that would begin in 4 to 6 months. Such a timetable may not need to begin in 2007, but begin it must. Huh? Let me break it down. What the smooth talking? What did he say? What did he say? Stylish. Barack Obama is saying. Let me read you his words. He said this. Obama calls for, quote, a phased redeployment of U.S. troops from Iraq on a timetable that would begin in 4 to 6 months. So the timetable doesn't start until 4 to 6 months, and a timetable need not begin in 2007, but begin it must. What the hockey puck is that? What the hockey puck is that? Mush mouth, what? A phased redeployment from Iraq on a timetable that would begin in 4 to 6 months, and such a timetable may not need to begin in 2007, but begin it must. And people walk away from the speech hearing, begin it must. But you gotta listen to the words he said prior to begin it must. Then he goes on to say, the president should announce to the Iraqi people that our policy will include a gradual and substantial reduction in U.S. forces. He should then work with our military commanders to map out the best plan for redeployment and determine precise levels and dates. I'm not suggesting that this timetable be overly rigid. Oh, for God's sake, of course. We can't be overly rigid in Iraq. Of course, we cannot be overly rigid in our decision to get out of Iraq. Of course we can't do that. Oh, heavens no. Heavens no. And let us put it in the hands of George Bush. He's got to come up with the timetable, huh? Well, what good are you? And Obama goes on to say, the redeployment could be temporarily suspended. What the, huh? We're redeploying kind of, sorta. I'm reading you the words of a Barack Obama. The redeployment could be temporarily suspended if the parties in Iraq reach an effective political arrangement that stabilizes the situation, and they offer us a clear and compelling rationale for maintaining certain troop levels. So you ain't trying to get up out of there. Let me say it again, and let me say it again slower for you. Obama's withdrawal strategy is, and I quote, the redeployment could be temporarily suspended if the parties in Iraq reach an effective political arrangement that stabilizes the situation and they offer us a clear and compelling rationale for maintaining certain troop levels. Now, I don't know every word in the dictionary, but I do know what the word maintaining means. He's saying, no, we may not get out of there. We may just maintain what we got. Huh. Huh. My name is Liz Brown. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Get to me. We have much to talk about.
K
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for the 7 o'clock hour. A lot of things going on. Slow down and use some caution out there. Westbound 70 between the Spencer Overpass and Mid Rivers Mall. Look for two lanes blocked as there's an accident just before Mid Rivers Mall Drive. Eastbound 40 between 270 and McKnight. Look for an accident. Two lanes are blocked. That's west of McKnight. Westbound 70 between Lucas and Hunt and Florissant. Look for two lanes blocked. One accident is at Bermuda. The other happens to be at Florissant Road, so there's actually two accidents there. Eastbound 40 between Route N and Winghaven. Look for an accident at Winghaven. Eastbound 364 between Harvester Road and Heritage Crossing. Look for an accident off the roadway there, so you may see some slowdowns there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Cave Springs. Look for ice buildup causing a number of people to spin out, so just slow down and use some caution around there. Highway 94 southbound at Wolfram. You can see an accident. Eastbound 255 between Lee May and Lindbergh. Look for an accident. It's cleared, but there's still slowdowns there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. You've got a slowdown there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. Look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit into the landing. Look for a slowdown there. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason Road. Look for driving conditions causing some slowdowns there as well. 70 eastbound at Bryan Road in Cave Springs. There's a report of stop traffic due to ice buildup. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For the rest of your Valentine's Day, partly sunny skies, high around 20 with a north wind at 10 to 15 miles per hour. This evening, mostly cloudy. Chance of flurries low around 10. Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning and afternoon, becoming partly sunny with a high around 20. And Friday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies, 13 degrees. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 3 degrees. Stay tuned for more Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake up call. My name is Liz Brown. Get up, 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 get to me. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I was calling to ask you, did you hear about the interview between Barack Obama's wife and I can't remember, recall the gentleman that she was having an interview with, but in that interview they had asked her, does she think that if her husband was to become president or during his candidacy, leading up to becoming president, does she think that he would be assassinated?
That was in the 60 Minutes interview from from last Sunday.
Did you see that?
I have it TiVo'd. Yes, I did.
And her response was something to the, I can't quote her verbatim, but it was something to the effect that a black man can be assassinated or be killed at a gas station.
Well, getting into his car, getting a taxi, something like that, yes.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that was an okay answer, but that wasn't the right answer.
What was the right answer?
The answer that she should have gave was that for him to sit there and ask her that question proves that there is a very big racism problem in this country, because they're always running around. Anytime somebody ever says race this and race that, they always running around trying to backpedal and get out of that and, you know, just diminish that it really does exist, that there really is a bigger issue here. And she should have also said, did you ask Laura Bush that when her husband was running for president? Did you ask, you know, Reagan's wife that when he was running for president?
Well,
that was a direct insult to that woman and her husband. Not to say that I'm, you know, a big Barack Obama fan, but that was just a direct insult to that woman.
And I look at it a little differently, Terry. I look at it from the perspective of race is very real in this country. And I think a person, given the fact that Martin Luther King was assassinated for his positions on the war, and Malcolm X was assassinated for his articulations, Patrice Lumumba was assassinated by our CIA because of what he has said and done. I think it is a very real thing in this country for a person of African descent. And the reason why, and Al Sharpton wasn't asked that, and Jesse Jackson wasn't asked that. And you know why? Because Barack Obama is one thing that Al Sharpton, that Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson or anybody else that has run for the presidency as a person of African descent, Barack Obama is different than all of them because he enters this race as a front runner. So the questions that we're now going to be seeing asked of this candidate are different questions that were ever asked of other ones, because the media, and whether they're right or wrong, did not consider them to be viable candidates. Barack Obama enters this race as a front runner. And I, from my perspective, I thought it was a fair question to ask, are you concerned about that? And I thought that her answer, that a man of African descent can be shot and killed at any time in America for just being a person of African descent, I agree with that. The thing that was troubling to me in that exchange was her husband's response to that. And when she made that statement about, I took it to be about race and racism in this country, that an African man can be killed for no reason in this country, his response wasn't like, yeah, right on. His response wasn't, he was really uncomfortable about her response to that. And that, to me, since he is the one that is running to be president, should have been right on. She's absolutely right. And then he could have segued into a thing about race, and he did not.
Which that just proves that, you know, he's too busy riding that. To me, he's too busy riding that line between there.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to quit doing that. And it's just, like I said, it just proves that there's a really big issue and nobody wants to talk about it.
He don't. we know he don't.
And I don't see why not. Why doesn't he? That's why I'm saying he doesn't seem like he's representing the way that he should be representing. And so why is everybody running around here? Everybody's trying so badly to have, you know, this black face as president, whereas what he stands for.
Mm-hmm. And what he says, what he does, what he articulates is not consistent with what we need a person of African descent as a front runner to be. And maybe this begs the question of, I guess that's why he's a front runner, because he's not talking about it.
Exactly, and people need to read between the lines instead of just...
Oh, read the lines. Just read the lines. I'm not even asking you to read between them. Just read them.
But everybody wants to... They all want a savior. Everybody wants a savior.
And do you have a problem with that?
They familiarize themselves with.
Do you have a problem? I understand. I long for a person, a people of African descent to be in these positions of power within our country. We want that.
But we certainly don't want a person of African descent to be in there that carries out the bidding or the issues of people that have done wrong to us.
Exactly.
So yeah, I understand the longing, but let us be clear-eyed in our longing. Baby, you ain't the one.
Exactly. And neither is Hillary Clinton.
Oh, hey, absolutely not.
That's just, I mean, I'm like, do you all listen to her? What is the deal? Do you all even listen to her? Have you really listened to her?
Oh, Lord. She didn't mention health care, or universal health care, when she was in the United States Senate, did she? Oh, but now that she's running for office, she wants to say it.
But so many people, it's so sad that they on this woman's bandwagon just because of her husband, who didn't do anything.
Fact. Thanks for your call, Terry. You
Thank
take care
you.
Now. 1-877-920-WGNU. Jeff.
Hey, what's up, Liz? How you doing?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking. My opinion regarding this election deal with Hillary. First of all, Hillary come across to me. She's trying to be a man or something. You know, she's trying to be hardcore. She's trying to show that she's middle of the road type of person. I've yet to hear her outline specifically what she would do for urban areas. And on the same note, when it comes to an African American running for an office, in 2007, I'm happier knowing that if you're running for public office and you happen to represent a black district, or you are African American person, you know, running for the presidency, and you know what the challenges are in the urban areas, you don't necessarily have to say, well, as a black president, I'm going to, you know, work to improve conditions for African Americans. I think what I'm looking for in a president or in a politician locally is someone to address urban issues.
What's urban issues? What does that mean?
Okay, what I mean by that is put yourself in somebody, in you're a black woman, I'm a black man, put yourself in the shoe of a white person, okay, and they're listening to a black person say, I need to do what I can to help African Americans. Now, even though that's not a racial statement or anything like that, there are some people that might feel uncomfortable with that. I wouldn't feel uncomfortable with that, but I know that the bottom line is, if he gets in office, don't talk about it, be about it. You don't necessarily have to say things to get things done.
But
I don't need somebody on the podium saying, oh, I'm going to help black people in education. I'm going to create more jobs for black people. I mean, I've heard people say that. And then they get in the office, they don't do anything. Don't talk about the baby, show me the labor.
I understand that theory, and I believe that it applies in many different circumstances. But since I don't know you from a can of paint,
mm-hmm.
You need to tell me what you're going to do. You need to tell me what you are about.
Mm-hmm.
You need to tell me what you believe. You need to tell me what your priorities are. You need to tell me what your plans are. You need to tell me. And then when you get into office, you need to do those things. We can't wait. Wait a minute. Let me finish. So when you make the phrase, don't talk about it, be about it, that doesn't apply when a person is running for political office, because they must talk about it, and they not only must they talk about it, but I need to know whether you talked about it before you were trying to get this gig. I need to know if you were about it before you were trying to get this gig. And if you have not talked about it before you're trying to get this gig, and you had the opportunity to talk about it before you had trying to get this gig, I am going to use that to evaluate whether or not I believe you when you're talking about it now.
You and I are on the same page with that. So that's why when I look at somebody like Barack Obama, I have not done this myself yet, and I need to do this. You know, I need to go to the library. I need to go ahead and do some research of my own. I want to know what he was like for 8 years as a state representative. Do you know anything about him?
I do know a number of things about him as a state representative.
Well,
and let me give you one quick example.
Okay.
He gave a speech when he was a state when he was in the legislature in the state of Illinois. He gave a speech about the war. He said it was wrong. And this was at the beginning of the war.
Okay,
it was wrong. It was immoral.
Okay. It was indefensible, and we should not be in there. Beautiful speech, right?
Uh-huh.
Beautiful, beautiful speech. So then I have to ask myself, okay, you said those words when you were in the state legislature. You didn't have to take a vote on this.
Uh-huh.
You know, you weren't a United States senator that is actually voting on whether or not we go into war or giving Bush the power to do so. So my question is, okay, you said those beautiful words, and I believe that you believed them at the time. So what have you done since you've been in office that is consistent with those pretty words that you said 5 years ago?
Okay.
Every single time a funding issue for this war that you said was immoral came up, you were right there with it.
Okay.
And his mentor in this whole process is Joe Lieberman, one of the biggest hawks in.
That's
yeah.
His mental process?
His mentor.
His mentor. Oh, mentor. No.
And his mentor was Joe Lieberman.
That's not good.
Okay, so we have to know what they have said, and we have to, those are just a few things, and I got to get to some other calls, but those are just a few things. Okay, Jeff?
Okay.
All right, take care of yourself.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call. Good morning.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
This is Beth Fowl.
Yes, Beth.
Hey, Liz. How are you?
Fine. The buses
good.
Are leaving?
Yes, they are.
Okay, and they're leaving. Say when and where.
2710 Hampton, and everyone needs to be there at 6 a.m.
That's tomorrow morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but you heard about the agenda, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then everybody needs to be there tomorrow. That's at the 420 headquarters.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you, Beth. Thank you so
you.
Much.
Take care. Thanks, Liz.
Okay,
appreciate it all.
Okay, be safe.
Thanks.
I'll be back. Stay with me. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, every single thing you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. Get on over to Sears. Get on over to Sears. Get your shop on. Spring is coming. I promise you it's coming. You're going to want some new stuff in your house. Where are you going to get it? You're going to get it at Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get on over there, tell them I told you to.
Previously on the Lone Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Hey, this is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. Peter.
Hello, yeah. I wanted to congratulate you, Juan, on the work you guys are doing with the school board.
just don't get lulled into thinking that they won't try something. Is there a possibility they could come up with something during this discussion, like a vote, like roll it into a vote?
People are going to be going up there. They still want people to go up there. We will be up. Not me personally, but those of us that are like-minded will be up there leaving tomorrow to be at that meeting. But all I can report on is that it is not on the agenda,
right.
And that's a good sign.
Okay.
That's a very, very, very good sign, and congratulations to all of us that have worked so hard on this issue. And for the ones that are going to get up tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock and get down there to 420, the 420 headquarters on Hampton, and get on that bus and go up to Jefferson City, we need to give them our congratulations, and everybody needs to join them.
Yeah. Also on the discussion with Barack Obama, mm-hmm. I've been kind of watching him, and some of the stuff, I mean, he reminds me kind of a Bill Frist with the way he speaks and answers questions.
Oh, and how so?
Well, he's evasive, you know.
Oh.
I've listened to him on Meet the Press. He was asked if he would send troops to Darfur, and he said, we got to have a study, you know. The question was, would you send U.S. troops? And he goes, we need to look into that. And he suggested UN.
Oh, I think that's a much better thing than U.S. troops.
Actually,
you know what the right answer on that should have been, Peter?
Yeah.
The right answer on that should have been the African Union should be the people that are in Darfur.
Well, I mean, why don't they have the people in there already? I mean, don't they have that capability to go ahead and
actually, the same, the reason why U.N. troops are able to go in there is what? Because the U.N. has money. Okay, the African Union has asked for money from the UN to fund what they need to do to get in there. It's a funding issue. And the UN should fund them to take care of their own business. Africa does not need the UN in Africa to take care of, because understand, UN brings in international troops. Everybody, and once the UN gets in there, more often than not on the continent of Africa, it is a cover to get into the resources of that particular African nation.
Well, it's not exclusive to Africa.
Well, okay, I'll take that. But so you understand.
The answer to the question would have been no.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Or either yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's going to commit the troops, say so. If he's
there
not,
you go.
You know, say that as well.
There you go.
But he danced around. He danced around a comment about Bill Clinton's statement he made, and his answer was, you know, I respect Bill Clinton. You know what? You know that.
Well, remember the confrontation that he had with
McCain. Yeah.
I remember McCain punked him.
Yeah.
McCain punked him.
Yeah. As far as an African American candidate, he does represent both parties though, as well as, you know, both white people and African American people.
Well, most African candidates, I haven't met an African candidate that doesn't represent both white people and black people. That's not unusual.
Well, that's true, but I mean, from listening to your callers, it sounds like they're worried about finding someone who's going to support issues that are exclusive to black people.
My problem is I don't
think there are that many issues that are solely exclusive to black people.
Oh, I think racism is an
yeah.
issue that is
yeah.
exclusive to people. And racism, how does racism show its head? Black people, when they middle class, upper class, upper income Africans, when they go to their doctors, they're not going to get the same advice from their doctors that white people get from their doctors for medical care, irrespective of what their income is. That's an issue that's exclusive to people of African descent.
I'm not sure that a legislative practice such as, like, even affirmative action can regulate
I think that you can. I think that one of the things that you cannot change the mind, but you can change the behavior. And the behavior is you punish people completely when they do things like that.
Yes.
You punish businesses consistently when they engage in those practices. You make it so difficult. How did they kill the Klan? How did they kill the Klan? They took away the Klan's money. They didn't change the hearts or the minds of the Klan, did they?
Right.
But they took all their stuff, the legal part of it, the legal ability, the legislative ability of this country was brought to bear on the Klan to take their money so that they weren't trying to change their hearts. I think it's a misdirection to suggest that affirmative action is about changing the hearts
of anybody. I'm not trying to change anybody's heart. I don't care what you think. I care what you do to me as a result of what you think.
Well, in essence, what type of power you have on me. I think you...
No, it's not about the power you have on me. It's about whether or not you follow the law, because the laws are all in place to protect us. The issue is the enforcement of the laws.
Enforcement of the laws.
But so then it's not about changing people's minds. It's about making people follow the law, and you can make people follow the law whether they want to or not. I guarantee you that there are behaviors that you know in your life right now that you engage in largely because you know you're going to get in trouble if you don't. You pay your taxes because you want to. I'm just asking.
I didn't pay my taxes last year, but...
You know what I mean? You pay your taxes because you want to?
Right.
No, you pay your taxes because you're scared to get in trouble if you don't.
Right. I'm not sure that I'm going to put a vote towards him. Personally, I prefer the issues John Edwards is putting about the outsourcing and all that stuff.
Read Dennis Kucinich. Read about Dennis Kucinich.
I don't think he's got... I like him. The thing is, when a guy seems like a crazy man, that's who you want.
Well,
he's the guy who's really going to help you.
Well, I would resist the urge to put that label on.
No. It's a media label. Like they paint this man as, you know, this wild. What he's trying to do is actually give power to the people, and the media represents that as insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's just crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so
I hear what you're saying.
They put that out there as this guy's the most nutcase. When in actuality, Dennis Kucinich's ideas would probably really help.
Well, not, they're consistent, and they're everything. There are a lot of the things that people that are important to people, and also again back to the consistency of this. He's been talking about this for years and years and years and years and years and years, and saying exactly the same thing. And I just want to get back to one quick point that you made about the issue of race. It is imperative that anybody that's running for office tell the truth about the legacy the old legacy and the current legacy of racism in this country. And until and unless America, people of African descent, as well as people of European descent, until they tell the truth about that, this country will stay where it is. All boats are lifted when the issue of race is dealt with head on. All boats are lifted. It is not simply and exclusively an African issue. And even if it was, that would be all right. But the issue of racism, if it is dealt with, it lifts all boats in America. Because if you cannot discriminate against a person if you are punished for discriminating against a person of African descent, other types of discriminations will stop as well. Thanks for your call.
Sure.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Whoo, get to me. We have much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, but really thank you for the heads up on Barack Obama. In Clarksdale, Mississippi, back in the early 60s, the blacks were clamoring for a black to be put on the police force, and the policeman went and found a buffoon in the neighborhood and made him a police without no training in anything, put him on the uniform, and they would have let him ride on the back of the police truck to places like black nightclubs, and he would get off that club. His name was Big Red. Those folks in Clarksdale might remember from Clarksdale. And he would go into place and beat us to death. I mean, he would take his nightclub and just whip us. And you know, I look at Barack Obama, and it's really scary that you know, you were right. He could be a good setup to come in and really betray us. You know, we're looking for a black face. My children looked at me this morning and said, Daddy, he's making history. And I said, well, of course. But, you know, we stole a statement from you, Liz, that we say every morning. We said, don't beg other folks for power. We were born with power.
That's right. That's right.
And when we get up in the morning, my children go out with that in their ear, going to school. So
as I would love to take credit for that, that was Congresswoman Maxine Waters who said it.
It's when you coming on in the morning, we hear it.
All right now.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Otis. Thanks for listening. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back at you in the next hour. Stay with me.
For power, nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. They had to wait for winter across parts of the Northeast, but it has arrived. Boy, has it arrived. Combination of snow, sleet, and freezing rain left roads from Washington to Boston an icy mess. Other places that already had snow, guess what? There's more on the way. ABC Sam Champion is in the thick of it in Worcester, Massachusetts.
It's going to drop a lot of snow. We're talking amounts of 12 inches, 18 inches, maybe even two and a half feet.
And the storm is in no hurry to leave. ABC's Nancy Cordes is trying to stay warm in Albany, New York.
By the time all of this is said and done tonight, they could have 1 to 3 feet of snow on the ground in this area. And there's one area that thought it couldn't possibly fit any more snow. That's right to the west of us in Oswego County, that area that you've been hearing about for a week now where they've had 12 feet of snow. Well, the governor of this state has activated the Army National Guard because they need help there just getting the snow out of the way, moving it somewhere.
Some of the hardest working people today, you would assume the plow drivers, but also
it's
these
pretty messy
folks.
Out there.
Tricky as we head
that's
out.
That's right, they're
this
the people
morning.
Who report the traffic and the weather on radio stations. Up and down the East Coast as for flying, you can pretty much forget it from Chicago morning. Eastward. Hundreds of flights are canceled, or at the very least, they're delayed. Analysts were calling it the Valentine's Day Massacre. They were guessing just how bad the announcement from Chrysler this morning would be for workers. Well, we've been told it's going to be pretty bad. The carmaker said to be cutting 13,000 jobs, part of a major restructuring plan to respond to lower demand. The Charlie Square Mall in Salt Lake City reopens today. It's where a gunman opened fire Monday night, killing 5 people before police killed him. There are a lot of folks who hope Officer Ken Hammond visits the mall soon. He's the police officer who was off duty Monday shopping at the time, cornered the gunman and exchanged gunfire with him until help arrived.
I know anybody that I work with, given the same situation, had they had their gun off duty, they would have done the exact same thing that I would have done.
This is ABC News.
Looking for great tire deals? Stop by your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, get up to a $90 cash rebate with purchase of Continental or General tires. That's right, up to $90 cash back. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service only at your dealership. We're better, we're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 3-1807.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Felicia, I know that flavoring milk is a good way to get my kids to drink more milk, but is there a difference in chocolate milk flavorings?
There really is. Compare the nutrition in rich chocolate Ovaltine to Nesquik powder and see the difference. Ovaltine contains over twice as many vitamins and minerals as Nesquik, so Ovaltine's more nutritious. And kids love the taste of rich chocolate Ovaltine. When it comes to nutrition, Ovaltine's the better choice.
More Ovaltine, please!
Aren't we just now getting our finances together after Valentine, after Christmas? Well, it's Valentine's Day, and it's time to spend again. Here's ABC's Donna Rapato.
It seems anti-Valentine sentiment increases each year. Is it because of the growing number of singles, like the most recent U.S. Census report showing more than half of all American women over 15 are single? Or maybe it's because of what consumers like David point out.
It's just self-promoting, you know, candies, flowers, just a way to make more profit off of anything.
So you don't see the romance in it?
No.
David adds, you can say I love you 20,000 times in a year. Why wait for this one day? Donna Rapato, ABC News, Miami.
The company that sounds off on health insurance is letting shareholders make a noise about corporate salaries. Aflac, you know, with the duck in the TV commercials, it's going to let them vote on executive pay packages. The vote, granted, is non-binding, but it's a pretty good bet that the company will not be able to ignore the wishes of a majority of people who hold stock. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's another WGNU News report. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, winter weather struck the St. Louis area again yesterday, trapping several inches of ice and snow and causing numerous accidents and cancellations. A female pedestrian was hit and critically wounded on an entrance ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge. Another accident shut down traffic on I-70 in St. Charles County for over an hour, and a crash on Highway 40 stopped traffic on the east side of the Boone Bridge. Dozens of flights at Lambert Airport were delayed, and Amtrak canceled several trains also. In Jefferson City, the Missouri Legislature's Black Caucus has a new chairman. State Representative Robin Wright of St. Louis was recently elected to temporarily fill the seat vacated by Representative John Bowman of Northwoods in the wake of Bowman's indictment last month on allegations of his involvement in bank and credit card scams. The Black Caucus includes 10 of Missouri's 17 minority state legislators. And Missouri's top two youth volunteers have been selected in the 12th Annual National Awards Program. Robert Schaff, 18, of St. Joseph, and 13-year-old Tessa Velick from Columbia were named Missouri's top two youth volunteers for 2007 by the Prudential Spirit of Community Awards. The awards program is conducted by Prudential Financial in partnership with National Association of Secondary School Principals. Robert, a senior at Central High School, established a community garden that's produced over 5 tons of fresh produce. And Tessa, a 7th grader at Smithton Middle School, is conducting an ongoing drive that's collected more than 5,000 new and gently used books for schools and shelters. Each winner will receive $1,000, an engraved silver medallion, and an all-expense-paid trip in early May to Washington, D.C. That's this hour's WGNU News Update. I'm Peyton Colston for AM 920.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 8 o'clock hour. Northbound 270 to Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry. Look for slowdowns around the 44 interchange as you end up with, or actually between Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry due to ice buildup. Westbound 70 between Goodfellow and Florissant. Look for that accident. It's been cleared at Bermuda, and another at Florissant Road has also been cleared, but you can expect stop-and-go traffic. An awful lot of slowdowns due to icy conditions. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley. Look for an accident. Center lane's blocked. That's at Hampton, so expect stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 270 from West Florissant through New Halls Ferry. Look for an accident on the New Halls Ferry ramp. Eastbound 364 from Creepcourt Mill through Bennington Place. There's a disabled vehicle at Bennington Place, so use caution. Eastbound 40 between 270 and McKnight. Look for that accident to have been cleared, but expect some slowdowns there. Southbound 270 at 70 in Dorset Road. Look for a disabled vehicle. Center lane's blocked. It's just before Dorset, so expect stop-and-go traffic. Southbound 94 between Page and 64. Look for some delays at Wolfram. That's basically due to an accident going on there. Westbound 70 at Spencer Overpass to Mid Rivers Mall. Look for some delays there. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield through Mason. Look for delays. And then again, westbound from Clayton Skinker through Hanley, you can expect some delays. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that ramp is still iced up a bit, so you may see some slowdowns there. Westbound 5570 from 64 split in the PSB, look for a slowdown there. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, or through Cave Springs, look for a delay as well. And westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the landing at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For the rest of your Valentine's Day, partly sunny skies, but a high only around 20 with north winds around 10 to 15 miles per hour. This evening, mostly cloudy. Chance of flurries, low around 10. Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, becoming partly sunny with a high around 20. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 5. And Friday, not quite as cold, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 13 degrees. The wind chill makes it feel like it's 2. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Saying that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can
this end? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much business to tend to. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
Yeah, Ms. Brown, you know, I'm listening to the people, you know, talking about the Obama thing. And I see two things here. That one is that you have a group of people who know this country and racism by experience, and the one who have been taught racism. Those are the younger generation. They have been taught that. And when you go to school, what I've seen about school is they teach you what you should be, not what you are. You know, and you got the older people like myself, like people like Malik and the gentleman that was just speaking about Clarksville, Mississippi. See, we understand from experience that if you join the gang of anything, the people don't change the rules for you. you change to fit in that room. And if we living in a society where there's racism and it's controlled by white folks, then a black person, when he go in there, he changes to fit them. They don't change it to fit the black person coming in there. You know, any time that you can see a police officer, as a gentleman was talking about the police officer in Clarksville, Mississippi, when the police officer, black police officer, first was elected, they could not arrest a white man if he saw that white man raping his sister. But yet and still, he had a badge on. He was supposed to be following the justice of the law and the laws on the books. But he had to fit in with those rules. When we are talking about Obama, that is people who knows from experience that we got Coleman Young in Detroit. What did he do for the blacks in Detroit? He fixed up Raquel-like square. You had black males here. What did they do for the black community? Because what? The politics is fit to suit white. And if you want to get in there and you want to fit in, you go in with that idea.
And I got a rope. I got a rope.
Comes up with the idea about, I'm not thinking about.
Thanks for your call. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind, too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance. Insurance where we work to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And I just wanted to remind you that it's Black History Month and that I have been invited by the Friends of Julia Davis Library to speak on the issue of St. Louis Public Schools and education. So come on by, drop on February 18th at 2:30 at Julia Davis Library. That's 4415 Natural Bridge. February 18th at 2:30. Come and listen to me. I'd love it if you were there.
The Struggle for Fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Redemption songs. Redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. Mary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Liz, you said you was going to announce whether the what was going to happen with the Jefferson City's tour tomorrow.
Yeah, I've announced about three times. Yes,
three
people,
times.
Uh huh. In fact, we had a caller that called in an announcement, and I've announced it three times. But I will be happy to announce it again. They are leaving tomorrow. Yeah, the bus is still on, and people are still going up to Jefferson City.
At 6.
At 6.
Liz, I want to make a comment quick, if I may.
Sure.
I was listening to the gentleman speak about Clarksdale and what happened down there. I don't know whether those were tactics that were used all over, because here in St. Louis, growing up in South St. Louis, there was a policeman called by the name of Mill Brooks, and he was a black police. He would go on the corners and kick the black boys standing on the corner, and they would all run and be afraid of him all the time. And he would just beat them and hit them with his club stick, and they would be just running, and they was afraid of him. And I think they did that in most of the cities. They used black men to control the blacks and not the whites.
Okay.
Okay, I just wanted to make that statement.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. You're on the wake-up call.
Oh, yes. Good morning, Liz. This
Kathy, good morning.
I wanted to say, first of all, I hope the parents take your admonition about the bad adverse condition that affects our children at school, because Sodexo does not clean the streets where the schools are. Most of our schools are on side streets, including the high school. And it's very, very cold out there. Even if the children ride the bus or the city bus, they're going to have to step off into the snow. They're going to have to walk, you know, in that snow. And it's viciously cold out there. I don't know who has the last call or final say on who comes or not, whether it's Veronica or Borisov, but it's a horrible thing to send our children out into that. Now,
Are the schools open today?
Yes, they are.
I didn't see any school.
Hazelwood's closed, Riverview's closed, all the major.
Are you sure? Because I didn't see any city school buses when I came in today.
Well, I know the staff has to go in.
Okay, but I don't know if that means that the kids are supposed to be in. I don't know.
Okay, I'll call and see if I've got the right information or not. The other thing I wanted to remind people that we are going to have the rally, weather permitting, Saturday at 12 noon at the Jeremy Tree on 5500 Grill Street, February 17th at 12 noon. And please come.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
Like the people were talking about before me, that happened in Sykes, Missouri, too.
All right.
And all I have to say about Obama is my mother gave me a beautiful apple one day, and I thought it was a beautiful apple. She said, take a bite. And inside it was totally rotten.
There you go.
Yeah. Thanks for the information.
All right.
You're good.
Thank you so much. You're good, too, Kathy.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@LizBrown.com, revolution@LizBrown.com, on 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, the schools were open yesterday, and they were open today.
Well, no, they were open a half day yesterday.
Yeah, a half day yesterday, but my kids went out there, and they came back in the snow, and this morning they were on the bus stop in the cold, so they are wide open. The public schools are.
St. Louis public schools are open.
They are, definitely.
Okay. All right. Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. Clarence.
Yeah.
Yes. Good morning.
I was thinking about the back in the civil rights day.
Clarence, can you do me a favor? Can you turn your radio down, please?
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Back in the civil rights day, when the Alabama blew the little churches up and they killed them three girls, the Klansmen. Hello.
Yes. Mhm.
But that was a big thing back then. This all that forgotten. Some of Martin King, what he could accomplish, that's forgotten.
Okay, and help me with the point that you're making.
I'm just saying that the racism will always be here.
I think that racism will be here until I die. Racism will be here after I die, absolutely. But that doesn't mean we don't confront it and fight it and expose it and try and change it.
Look at all the people that are trying to run for office, like Obama, when people were suffering and blacks were suffering, they still didn't help the blacks. Even back then, we were voting for the white black folks.
I think that when we assess who has done what and what has happened, I think that there have been good people that have worked very hard and spent their lifetime advocating and working on the issues of people of African descent and people who have not. We need more. We need to make certain in 2007 that when we elect people and we watch them and we maintain the relationship with them even after we vote for them. I think that the problem is that a lot of people do not understand or have not absorbed the message that if you elect somebody, your responsibility does not end after that person wins. Your responsibility as a person who elected that person is to stay on that person to make certain that that person continues to do what needs to be done. That, to me, is a serious missing link in how politics are done in this country from coast to coast. With respect to African people of African descent, we need more people in office, not less. We need to hold them accountable, and we need to pull the trigger when they're not doing right. When a person of African descent is not articulating, prioritizing, and delivering on our issues, we got to get rid of them. And I think that there is a resistance within the community to do that. I really do.
But I think Obama's going to be bad news for black folks. I don't think he's looking out for black folks.
Mm-hmm. He's never said that he is. And I think that we should understand what that means and believe what that means. If he's never said it, if he's not saying it, then it's not important to him. And we need to believe that. Thanks for your call, Clarence.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hi. Good morning, lady from the east side.
From the east side.
Yes. It is definitely great to hear your voice. And, of course, we're in support when you all go out there to Jefferson. And hopefully everybody have a nice turnout when you go to the library also.
Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Couldn't agree with you more about Obama. It is.
Well, and why? And what is it that you see or believe about Obama?
Number one, anyone of African descent, whether you were raised directly in the heart of America to know what was going on, or just come from anyone of African descent, you cannot go around this day and age, in any age, but especially this day and age where racism is so prevalent and still is happening, whether it's law enforcement, education, or just getting a regular job, all facets of our life, we face racism. And you being a man of African descent, whether it doesn't matter which parent is of another nationality, but you're still a man or woman of African descent. You cannot blindly go out here and say that race does not matter, when the first thing that everyone sees, whether you're white, brown, Chinese, whatever, Hispanic, whatever, they're going to see you as the nationality or the person that you are. And then secondly, they're going to look at you, whether your education and who it is that you hang around and who you be around. And to me, action speaks louder than words. You're right. He is too in the middle. He straddles the fence about things. He do not come out and speak about what it is that he is exactly against or is for, and that's very dangerous.
I think that it's two things. He's an attorney. He's very clear about his word choice,
mm-hmm.
and people are not listening. People are not listening to what he's saying, because it can never be said that he didn't say what he said. People need to listen and quit filling in the blanks of what he is saying. Because I don't even think that he is that moving of an orator. I think that, I mean, there isn't the drama and the presence of a Martin Luther King or even an Al Sharpton or even a Jesse Jackson. There is certainly a different style in the delivery of his. He's not even a John F. Kennedy in terms of the way that he presents and articulates and delivers his message. However, that being said, the word choices are very deliberate and very clear in what he is saying, and people need to stop filling in the blanks.
Exactly.
Listen to what he says and then believe him.
I mean, he's almost, I hate to bring up Fred Astaire, but I mean, he danced around the question. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
He did not say anything. I mean, they can, he can word all around it and up and down inside of it. He will never truly admit or either come out and say anything. So he's truly an lawyer. He knows how.
Hey.
No. Not all lawyers.
All right.
I'm just
all
saying
right.
He. Right. I'm saying that he knows how to either say something or not say it, and he's.
The words are there.
Not how to, say it. But I have two wonderful people here that would love to say good morning. One moment.
Hi, Liz. This is Dora. And I am here to tell you that I'm not going to school today because it's too cold.
My name is Jariel, and good morning, Liz. And I would like to tell you deep snow out there. And I was going to say that I'm not going to school because it's too cool out there.
I understand, and I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. Stay warm, okay?
Okay.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, too.
Love you. Love you, too. My name is Liz Brown. I will be back. Stay
All
with
right.
me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather. A lot of things going on. Westbound 70 between Cave Springs and 370. Look for an accident. Stop and go traffic. Two lanes are blocked just before Highway 370. Eastbound drivers are slowing down to look at the activity as well. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, expect delays as you've got some slowdowns due to the inclement weather and the bad road conditions. Westbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Doherty Ferry, look for slowdowns there. Southbound 270 from 70 through Dorset, look for a disabled vehicle. Center lane's blocked just before Dorset. Eastbound 270 from West Florissant through Newhalls Ferry, look for that ramp block that's on the Newhalls Ferry. Eastbound 40 between 270 and McKnight, look for that accident to have been cleared. However, you've got some slowdowns going on there. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield Parkway through Mason, it is slow go there. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue and the 5570 split, look for a slowdown. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for a slowdown there. 44 eastbound from Soccer Park through 270 is looking like you've got a bit of a slowdown there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that approach is stacked up at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well from the gravel pit into the landing. Eastbound 44 from Grand through Mason, look for some delays there as well due to an earlier Grand through Mason due to an earlier accident. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For today, look forward to mostly sunny skies, but it will be quite cool as the temperature will only reach a high in the around 20 with a north wind out of 10 to 15 miles per hour. For this evening, mostly cloudy. Chance for flurries low around 10. For Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, becoming partly sunny throughout the day, high around 20. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 5. And Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 15 degrees now. With the wind chill, it makes it feel like it's 4 degrees, so bundle up if you're headed out to the bus stop. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And I just wanted to remind you that it's Black History Month and that I have been invited by the Friends of Julia Davis Library to speak on the issue of St. Louis Public Schools and education. So come on by, drop on in on February 18th at 2:30 at Julia Davis Library. That's 4415 Natural Bridge. February 18th at 2:30. Come and listen to me. I'd love it if you were there.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about, but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
About my legacy, when I realized you were there for me, called on your name, you came, you did just what you said, for that I'll love you forever. You kept your word to me, for that I'll love you forever. A promise is a promise.
That's right. Can't say you're going to just compromise. My. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Please get to me so let's get it, so we can get it done. Mike.
Yes, Liz. How do you feel about Edwards?
You know, I was digging on Edwards. I really was digging on Edwards when he opened up his campaign in New Orleans, okay? Talking about the P word, poor people, dealing with addressing those issues. Then I read a speech that Edwards gave to a Jewish organization. And the language that he used in describing what should be done to Hezbollah and what should be done to the Palestinians and what should be done on behalf of Jewish issues, it was such hawkish language. It was the same type of language and rhetoric that Bush engaged in to get us into this war. And I saw a tape of Edwards defending this war back in the beginning of this war. And he was at a Democratic, I believe, convention or a Democratic meeting of some sort. And people were booing him because of the language that he used was exactly the same as George Bush.
Now, that John Wayne attitude?
Yeah, just
going to get them and knock them down.
Yeah, you know, they're wrong, they're evil, we got to go and bring democracy to them. Okay, they didn't ask for that.
No.
Okay, so when I heard him then, and I appreciate the fact that he has apologized for taking that stand. I appreciate the fact that he is saying, I made a mistake, I was wrong. I appreciate that. It is difficult, however, to evaluate that as a true change in heart or if it's a change in political position because the political climate has changed. And that's the challenge in this. So I was looking to see other evidence of whether or not he's been changed, and then I ran across this speech, this hawkish speech that he gave to about Hezbollah and about Israel and about Palestinians, and I was like, no. You know, I love what he has done in New Orleans. I wish Obama had done that, but he didn't and he won't.
So you don't feel good about Obama and the way he voted for the war?
It's not simply that, Mike. It is not simply that. It is saying one thing about this illegal, immoral war. Those are the words that he used. As an attorney, those are the words that he used. And yet and still, when he got there and he had an opportunity to be consistent in that stance and vote against funding for this. And mind you, public opinion was all, and particularly within the community of African descent, we've always understood this to be an immoral a war and occupation. When he had the opportunity to vote against it, or to vote, not vote for funding for it, he choked.
I'm always was against it. We got no business over there. And another thing is, you don't stick some kind of democracy down somebody's throat. What we need to do is get out of there and let these people decide for themselves.
And leave their oil alone, because it's their oil.
Yeah.
It's not ours.
Yeah, because if it wasn't for the oil, we wouldn't be over there.
We wouldn't be over there. Period. Dot. Mike, thank you so much.
Okay, you bet.
Take care. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, good morning, Liz. Rick LeCran, how you doing?
Rick, good morning. How are you?
Good, good. I'm glad to see you're above the curve like most of the time. Dennis is a really good guy. He really has
Dennis
an understanding
mm-hmm.
of our community. And I know it's hard sometimes for some of us to see that he's a solid politician.
Mm-hmm.
He's a solid politician. I actually worked on his campaign.
Did you?
4 years ago, yeah. And interestingly enough, though, I did vote for Al.
Now, why would you do that?
Well, you know, I'm sure you watch those debates,
mm-hmm.
and you listen to both of these men.
Mm-hmm.
And when they sit next to each other, there were often times where Dennis would say, hold up, Al, let me take this one. Or Al would say, Dennis, you go ahead and take that one. Because they're along the same lines in terms of their politics. Both of them have good politics in terms of what our communities should look like and the battles that we face. So, you know, it was just kind of a personal struggle.
But Al never said out loud the things that Dennis Kucinich just said.
That's true. I believe that Dennis is a little more progressive.
Well, I think he's a whole lot more.
Yeah.
I mean, I will never forget what Al Gore did to...
No. Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton.
Okay.
Al Sharpton.
Okay.
Not Al Gore.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that Dennis Kucinich is sitting next to Al Sharpton, and they're both saying, you take this one, okay, I'll take this one.
Exactly, because they were hitting it on the same,
wow.
the nail on the head, the same
wow.
nail on the head.
Wow.
And they were sharing the same line of thought.
Wow.
More people need to get on Dennis and just Google him.
Yeah.
Look at some of the stuff he's
Absolutely.
Done.
Absolutely.
So unfortunately, people are not wanting to hear it, but you're above the curve again. Kudos, my sister.
Well, thank you. And I'm telling you, I wish, and this is just the challenge of being and this is an awful thing to say, but being a product in America,
mm-hmm.
I wish Dennis looked as good as he sounds.
Exactly.
Because when you hear him on the radio, you just imagine this different package than what Dennis is bringing to you.
Fiery orator.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful speeches.
Great voice. He has an awesome voice. He has an awesome voice.
Yes.
And listening to him on the radio yesterday, I was like, who's this? I know this is not Edwards, and I know good and doggone well this is not Obama.
Yes.
Who is this? And it can't be Hillary, so who is this?
The only two things that I disagree with Dennis with was he doesn't believe in spanking children. I have a little problem with that.
Oh, I'm with him on that one.
And I get at my own for every now and again.
Okay.
And the second thing is Dennis, in terms of his dress and his look, brother might be still caught in the 70s a little bit.
I think fully entrenched. And I love the fact that he lives in the same house that he's lived in for 40-something years.
That's right.
You know, lives in the same neighborhood.
That's right. And you brought up the fact earlier that Dennis was homeless.
Yep.
You brought that fact up earlier, and that's a powerful piece.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's a powerful piece. Brother understands that. Matter of fact, when he was here 4 years ago, He walked with the workers at Shop and Save as the grocery workers were going through the pier to strike. And he went out and marched with.
Wow.
So.
Wow. And so you're going to work on his campaign this time around?
Yeah, we're going to put some stuff together.
Absolutely. And he said that he has 10,000 or so workers out there working for him. And, you know, well, what do you think is going to be different this time? He said,
That's right.
5 years ago, I was 100% right about everything that I said about this war.
He was.
Okay?
He was. And one more thing, Liz. He came out early on saying, you know, we need to really look at how we're dealing with Muslims in America. Had a piece on his campaign where Muslims were supporting Kucinich for president.
I'm telling you, Dennis Kucinich says and does the right thing.
That's right.
He really does.
Black America, look at this guy.
There was an article written by, and I'm trying to get him on the show, by a man by the name of Dixon, who wrote an article, and the headline was, Dennis Kucinich, the blackest candidate in the race.
That's right. That's right. Stay strong, my sister.
Okay, you too. Thank you so much for that.
All right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up and get to me. We have much business to tend to. To shop for all your appliance needs, Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Randy Graham. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Graham, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. My name. Say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're in the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to change the subject just a little bit. Imagine this. This is George Bush talking. It's all right for me to send other people's children over to fight this war, this unjustified war. But when you return, I'm going to cut your health care. Now, this is me talking. He's still talking, rather. We're spending all the billions on weapons of war and building up what we want to in Iraq. What happens after 2 years is what I'm asking. What happens after 2 years when these people come back when he has destroyed the health care and they have been destroyed by their spirits and their minds? What does George Bush care if they can't sleep at night because of the nightmares that they experience from what they have had to been forced to experience over in Iraq? Americans should be outraged and standing up to do something about this. And on another note, since this today was the day we talk about the education problem, in America, the police make more money than the regular school teachers make. Blunt and George Bush do not care about children or their parents. They just care about what they can do for themselves and their friends, and that's what I wanted to say.
All right.
And I hope that one other thing. I hope that the people who live south of Del Mar will go up especially to Jefferson City, especially those who are retirees, because in this country, in this time of privatization, the pensions can be cut.
Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
1-877-920-WGNU. And a reminder, there is a bus that is leaving tomorrow. I believe it's leaving at 6 a.m. It's in front of the Teachers Union building there on Hampton. Get on the bus to go up to that DESE meeting. We are not on the agenda, which means that we need to be up there even more, because I don't know if it's a head fake. I don't know what they're doing. But we need to be up there. Our presence needs to be up there, because I believe our presence has made a difference. We need to be up there, so get on the bus tomorrow. Head on up. The snow is done. The snow stopped falling. The roads are looking pretty clear. I'm looking out my window right now. The roads are looking pretty clear. Get on the bus tomorrow and get on up to Jefferson City. We need you to go up there strong. We need you to go up there strong. 1-877-920-WGNU. I just want to share something with you just so that you know, so you can feel the beat, so that you can feel it. And I share this story with you. I share this observation with you as a reminder of people think people are stupid. People in powerful places think people are stupid. They think that people are forgetful. They think that people are so busy with their lives that they don't have time to pay attention. And that they, what is it, a sucker born every second? Well, the Bush administration believes that you're a sucker all day long. All day long. So if it worked before, why wouldn't it work again with a sucker? The New York Times and the Washington Post, just this past weekend, both of those news entities published stories about Iranian weapons in Iraq. What's the big deal about that? Well, both of the newspapers relied upon unnamed military officials who claimed, as the Washington Post said, quote, Iranian security forces are taking levels from the highest levels of the Iranian government are funneling sophisticated explosives to extremist groups in Iraq, and the weapons have grown increasingly deadly for U.S.-led troops over the past 2 years. And how did they get this information? Reporters had to agree not to identify who said it. And they also had to check their electronic equipment at the door. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Does that sound familiar to you? Does it sound something like what we were told about Iraq? Why are these guys anonymous? What could you possibly be concerned about if you're saying that Iranian security forces are taking orders from the highest level of Iranian government and are funneling sophisticated explosives to extremist groups? Why you can't put your name behind that? Oh, because they're lying to you? This administration has planted stories in the media before. Then they went to the media and say, oh, well, this isn't coming from us. It's coming from the media. I normally don't do this. It's not necessarily something that I want to do, but there is a special tonight on PBS, and it's a four-part series, and it's called News Wars, Secrets, Spin, and the Future of News. And it starts tonight. It is so imperative that we understand not only that we understand, but that we also learn from the past. And I'm not saying that you have to go back 100 years, 50 years, 10 years, 5 years. Just go back just a few minutes ago, just about. Pay attention to what's being said to you and why it's being said to you. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Joe.
Yes. How you doing, Ms. Brown?
I'm outstanding.
You know, I've heard about the budget that's spent over in Iraq. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is how disappointed I am with the fact that I happen to have had to drive around today in St. Louis. And as you head north into certain areas of St. Louis, the streets are horrible. But as you head south, they're very clear, and west. And I think that that's terrible that we spend our tax dollars like everyone else, but in our areas, the streets are horrible. Certain areas should be closed down for safety. I was also disappointed that the schools opened at all yesterday when I saw the conditions. And I think that's terrible, but I did call to the school board, superintendent's office, and I asked, why would you have the children out in these kind of conditions? So I just wanted to say I'm very disappointed, and I wanted to make that clear to you.
All right, Joe Palm, thank you so much.
Peace and love.
All right, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Oh, what a difference an election can make. Huh. George W. Bush is planning on meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus. Oh, what a difference an election makes. Boy George is going to be meeting with the Black Caucus. Maxine Waters, however, says, I won't be there. It's a ceremonial meeting, and she said it's perfunctory and it's ceremonial. Many of the issues that I care to talk about, like Haiti, he doesn't care about. I don't need to talk to the president now. Now, I don't need to talk to him. That's what Maxine said. We have so much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number.
454-6609 is my fax. Huh. Oh, what a difference Democratic majority and Democratic African chairmen and all of that makes with Boy George meeting with the Black Caucus. Only for an hour. You're not going to sit there long. But he's meeting with them nevertheless. My name is Liz Brown. Tell you what, stay tuned.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, Black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's Valentine's Day, but thousands of Chrysler employees won't feel much like celebrating. They've found out they're going to be out of jobs soon. The carmaker is eliminating them in its latest restructuring plan, 13,000 jobs. Chabachetta with Car and Driver magazine says it's no secret why lower demand.
They had a couple of home run cars like the Chrysler 300 that carried them, but those products are getting a little old and they haven't followed up with them. And so finally, the same financial pressures have hit Chrysler.
More of the cuts are to union workers, hourly workers, but some salaried employees will be getting pink slips too. This is a good day to stay inside from the Midwest to the Northeast, but sometimes you have to go out for something important like this driver did in Worcester, Massachusetts.
I had to get my wife a Valentine's Day card. I figured it was worth the risk.
It's part of an area that's under a blizzard warning. There's more snow on the way to Albany, New York, too, and ABC's Nancy Cordes says it's plenty cold.
A lot of people think that when it's snowing, it must be in the mid-30s or so. But here in Albany, it's 6 below with wind chill, so it's not a pleasant snowfall. There are blizzard warnings. The wind has picked up, and so the snow is not just coming down, it's coming sideways.
To the south, the main problem from Washington to New York City is a combination of sleet and freezing rain, which left an icy coating on the roads. One of the most vocal anti-U.S. critics in Iraq is missing. More from ABC's Martha Raddatz.
U.S. officials say that Muqtada al-Sadr fled to Tehran, neighboring Iraq. They say he's been there about 2 or 3 weeks. This coincides with the surge, the additional troops going into Iraq. One U.S. official told us they believe al-Sadr is afraid that he will get a J-dime on his house if he stays in Iraq. Now, al-Sadr's people claim none of this is true. They say he's been in Iraq all along, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see him in the next few days. It would be very easy for him to get back.
This is ABC News.
Looking for great tire deals? Stop by your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, get up to a $90 cash rebate with purchase of Continental or General tires. That's right, up to $90 cash back. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. We're better, we're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 3-1807.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Felicia, I know that flavoring milk is a good way to get my kids to drink more milk, but is there a difference in chocolate milk flavorings?
There really is. Compare the nutrition in rich chocolate Ovaltine to Nesquik powder and see the difference. Ovaltine contains over twice as many vitamins and minerals as Nesquik, so Ovaltine's more nutritious. And kids love the taste of rich chocolate Ovaltine. When it comes to nutrition, Ovaltine's the better choice.
More Ovaltine, please!
Birds do it, bees do it, and now if you go to the zoo, you can learn how they all do it. That is, if you ever wanted to for some reason or another. ABC's Luis Schiavone has more on a different way to celebrate Valentine's Day.
About 20 years ago, the San Francisco Zoo's penguin keeper had a brainstorm. The public would get a big kick out of watching her charges continue the species. Thus was born Woo at the Zoo, essentially zoo sex tours.
I like to watch.
The trend caught on with lots of zoos across the nation now charging about $50 a couple to learn about courtship rituals, animal endowments, and attractions. There are no command performances, and like much of life, it's mostly a lot of talk. Luis Schiavone, ABC News.
Memo to students at Middlebury College. You can't use Wikipedia as a source in your next college paper. Professors say go ahead and start there, but then do some real research. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom. Here's another update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston. In O'Fallon, Missouri, City Council President Peter Cantwell has been cleared in the grievance filed against him by a former city employee. Last October, an assistant in the mayor's office claimed Cantwell had made her job unbearable and resigned. O'Fallon officials say they hired an outside lawyer to investigate the claims, but took no further action after the employee who made the complaint did not appear for several scheduled meetings. In Illinois, the state is watching out for signs of bird flu. The state of Illinois has secured $165,000 in funding through the U.S. Department of Agriculture to provide free avian flu testing to producers of poultry and captive-raised game birds in Illinois. State officials hope the testing will help Illinois detect the disease early. And a 23-year-old St. Peter's man pleaded guilty this week to possession of child pornography. Investigators say Brian Burley had hundreds of pornographic images and 157 video files on his computer when he was caught by police with the help of a computer program that scans the Internet for child pornography. Burley faces a $250,000 fine, 10 years in prison, or both when he's sentenced later this year. And that's this hour's update of WGNU News. I'm Peyton Colston for AM 920.
Good morning. St. Louis, an awful lot of traffic going on, so let's get started with that. Southbound 94, Page and 40, look for it. Accident's been cleared. That was at Wolfram Road, but expect stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Cave Springs, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 from Chesterfield Parkway into Mason, look for slow traffic there. Southbound 270 from 70 into Dorset Road, look for that stall cleared around the Dorset Road area, but it's still promoting stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from New Florissant into 170, look for two left lanes blocked as an accident at 170. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry, look for some delays there. Westbound 270 from Illinois 157 to 255, that's over on the Illinois side, look for an accident on the southbound 55 ramp, so use some caution there. Southbound 270 at Page and Olive, that ramp is blocked due to a disabled vehicle, and that's a ramp onto Olive at this hour. Westbound 40 between 20th and Jefferson, look for a disabled vehicle. Right lane's blocked. That's just west of floors, or just west of 20th. Eastbound 40 from 270 through Hanley, look for an accident. Now on the ramp to northbound 270. Westbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Clarkson, look for an accident. That's left lane, and that's at Clarkson. Now the ramp is closed as well. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain and 367. Look for two left lanes closed due to an accident at 367. Westbound 70 at Cave Springs all the way into 370. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to an accident. Shoulders blocked. That's just before 370. Eastbound 44 from Big Bend through Jefferson. Look for an accident. It's been cleared at Jefferson. And eastbound 30 at 270. There are several accidents. There's an awful lot of accidents going on. The streets are still slick, even though it looks sunny outside and nice. So just use caution. Slow down. Give yourself some extra time to get to work. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. For the rest of your Valentine's Day, partly sunny with a high near 20. The wind will be out in the north at about 15 miles per hour, so bundle up if you are going outside. This evening, mostly cloudy. Chance of flurries low around 10. Thursday, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, becoming partly sunny with a high around 20. And then Thursday evening, look forward to partly cloudy skies with a low around 5. Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 30s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 17 degrees. The wind chill outside makes it feel like it's about 7 or 8 degrees, so just use caution, or just use caution and bundle up. And it's sunny outside as we speak. That is a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. We'll take another look at your traffic, or your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. Up next, Liz Brown is out of the studio for this last hour, so we're going to bring you a best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU. From all of us here at AM 920 WGNU, to all of you, have a great and happy Valentine's Day. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever.
Now we bring you the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
the progress of the wound, that's below that, the below me.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. And you can always get me via email, Liz Brown, LizzBrown, at sbcglobal.net. Those are your choices. Those are your options. Handle your business. Now, this morning, in this hour, we're going to talk about a subject that is going to come up during this election. Or not this election, but it's going to come up during the term of our newly elected governor. And that is the death penalty. It appears that the first complaint by the newly elected governor and the newly installed Republican majority in the House and in the Senate, the first complaint was that we were not executing enough people. And apparently that's going to be one of the things that's on their list of things to do. And having said that, it apparently they are making good on their articulated concern. We have a scheduled execution date, and we haven't had one in, I believe it's about 2 years. So I think it is important, given that background, given that backdrop of what's happening in the state of Missouri, I think it's important that we continue the conversation about the death penalty. And to facilitate that conversation, I have with me this morning Rachel King, author of Capital Consequences, Families of the Condemned Tell Their Story. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Bring that up just a little bit to you. There we go. Rachel, you've written two books. This is your second book about the death penalty. I want to backtrack a little bit. I want to start with the first book that you wrote. Tell us about that book and what was the motivation behind that, because it's kind of like the opposite of this book.
Well, the first book was called Don't Kill in Our Names, Families of the Condemned Tell Their Stories. And the motivation for both of the books really was the same, which was to tell the stories of murder victims' families who oppose the death penalty and death row family members. And this project began about a decade ago when I started photographing and interviewing people from this organization called Murder Victims' Families for Reconciliation. And after doing that and just hearing all these amazing stories and seeing really profoundly how the death penalty intimately affects the people most affected by it, it made me want to, you know, write a book and tell their stories.
Now, the first part of the new book, Capital Consequences, Families of the Condemned Tell Their Stories, you talk about how the formula that you used to craft your first book, and you thought it was going to be difficult to get the family members to tell their story, but it was not.
Well, my experience in interviewing the murder victims' family members is that they were very forthcoming with their stories and very trusting, and I think they'd had the experience throughout the case of people being very sympathetic to them. But with the death row families, sometimes that was not the case. They were.
In fact, you had when you were writing the book, after you were almost finished writing this book, you had some families back out, and that didn't happen with the victims of the murder victims and the families of the murder victims. Explain to our audience why that was, and explain to them who dropped out.
Well, I think what happens for the death row families is that they were very used to seeing the media not portray the case accurately, not having people be sympathetic toward them or to their loved one, and so they were naturally distrustful. And in the course of writing the book, you know, if I made a mistake or forgot to include something or change something, people were very uncomfortable and very quick to react. I had always promised the family members that they would have the chance to edit anything before it went to press. So I, of course, legally I wasn't required to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That was just my own agreement with them. But still, when you know, it was coming up to the wire, when the book was supposed to be at the publisher in like a week, I had four families who still hadn't signed their permission slips and were you know, threatening to pull out. Fortunately, only one did, but even that was very sad because that was a very, very powerful story. I mean, they're all powerful, but
So why the difference? Why the difference? You didn't have any of the family members of the families of people who had been murdered pull out, but these were family members of the people that were on death row. Why?
I think the difference is because the victims' families, as I said, are used to having people be sympathetic to them. They're used to having the media be sympathetic to them. They're trusting that they're going to be portrayed in a good light. That wasn't the experience of the death row family members.
Mm-hmm.
They're suspicious that they'll be portrayed in a bad light, and that was true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they had to.
I mean, that
really
concern was real.
Of course, it was mm-hmm. real. It was very real. It wasn't real, from as far as I'm concerned, with me. But they didn't know that. They didn't have any, you know, reason. Of course, they did ultimately come to trust me, except for this one family.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, I really don't even think it was about me so much as they just their loved one had actually committed suicide while he was in prison,
mm-hmm.
and it was very recent.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened after we had started the book project.
And also,
so they were just grieving too much, I mm-hmm. think, and just weren't ready to see it in black and white.
And also, don't we have with the families of the condemned, the story will once again put the specifics out of the crimes that were committed, and that's very difficult for the families, and they're concerned about being, when the stories are talked about, that's all anybody's going to talk about is the details of the
right.
crime itself.
Right, and sometimes those details are wrong, or in some cases, like the story, Vera Thomas's story, Reggie's case is still active.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in fact, that was probably the most difficult chapter to write because, you know, we have Reggie's lawyer saying, don't take part in this book. Anything you say can hurt Reggie's case. And Vera was scared to death that something could possibly hurt Reggie's case. And sometimes you don't even know what that's going to be. You think you're saying something that's helpful, and it turns out later on it's not, which is
mm-hmm.
why defense lawyers are always saying, don't talk,
mm-hmm.
because it's better just not to talk. So it was very you know, brave of Vera to take part in the book at all, and I think that was probably the hardest chapter to write because the stakes are so high, because Reggie is, you know, he's back on death row. And
we're going to talk to Vera in just a few minutes, but I want to talk to you a little bit more about your book, Capital Consequences, Families of the Condemned Tell Their Stories. Why do you think that this is important for people to hear, this story, the hearing from the families of the condemned? Why is that important?
Because we never hear it. And I think if we're going to have the death penalty, we have to look at all the moral consequences of that action. And one of those is we create a new set of victims. These people that we're killing, you know, they weren't born in cocoons. They had people who loved them. They had people who care about them. They have children sometimes. They have parents, spouses. I mean, not everybody has all of these things, but they have connections to the community. And when we kill them, we are creating new murder victims' family members. And we don't think about this consequence. We don't ever think about this. We don't ever talk about this. We don't ever consider the moral ramifications. And that's just wrong.
And you are opposed to the death penalty.
Oh, yeah.
And when you wrote this book, were there, within your book, I saw a list of things, that questions that you wanted people to ask themselves as they're thinking about the death penalty. Can you tell us some of those questions and why are they of concern to you, and why should people consider those?
Well, actually, the first one is, what is the long-term effect of the execution on the family members, especially the children of the condemned? And this, I think, one of the stories in the book is a woman named Shakira Hameen, whose husband was executed by the state of Delaware. And this man had, he had committed the crime. He wasn't innocent, although it was a drug deal shooting. It was not the kind that you typically think of as being something that will end you up on death row. And he had gone through extraordinary rehabilitation in prison, which he had done himself. He wasn't getting it from the state. And he really had, he started a peace organization that had community members and people in prison. He had been mentoring young people who were getting involved in the criminal justice system. He'd been a real role model to his son, who he'd really worked at, you know, being close to and having a regular relationship with him. And all the guards thought that his sentence would be commuted. I mean, everybody looked at this man as like an extraordinary example of rehabilitation. Well, to make a long story short, he was not, his sentence was not commuted. He was executed. And his son, who was a young man at that time and sort of just starting to get in a little bit of trouble with the law, within a year, he's now on death. He's now facing a capital charge as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that he, you know, acted out his own rage and frustration with the system. I don't have any idea if he's guilty or not, but I think that's definitely a connection there in that case. And so, you know, we have to wonder, what are we doing to society? What are we doing to ourselves if we're not helping the children that people were executing? That young man needed a lot of support to heal from the betrayal of having the society he lives in kill his father, and he did not get that support.
And one of the other factors that you want people to consider when they come to a decision about how they feel about the death penalty is the rehabilitative part. The person that you were just talking about had gone through a lot of changing and a lot of what some people would say, most people would say, rehabilitate himself. Should we? One of the questions you asked is about that.
We're not killing the same people that ended up getting in prison. I mean, that's the case a lot of times, that 20 years later, people really are changed. I mean, to sustain, to figure out how to survive when you're on death row, you gotta find the resources from someplace. And, you know, people often do have religious experiences in prison. And, you know, some people poo-poo that. Well, I think it's very genuine, because you have to figure out a way to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to really figure out the most sort of basic essentials of life and what does it all mean, and find meaning in a very meaningless environment. And so people often end up having profound spiritual experiences and then really go on to, you know, become these sort of amazing spiritual people. And killing Hameen did nothing for anybody besides, I mean, it left this big hole. And he could have continued to live a meaningful life even if he'd been sentenced to life in prison. But frankly, in that case, I think he could have been paroled. I think he was no longer a danger to the community.
Do you think that society is really ready to hear about the stories of rehabilitation in prison? It seems like we live in a society that is quite satisfied with saying, okay, take away the weights in the prison, take away the books. People shouldn't have any, the taxpayers shouldn't be paying for any of that stuff. If you commit a crime, then you should just go there and stay there until it's time for you to go out or die there. Do you think that we've reached a point in our evolution here in this country that we're ready to hear that these are actual human beings that are in jail, and that they do evolve? They are not the same, as you said, they're not the same person that pulled that trigger at that moment in their life.
Well, I think that if we heard more of these stories, maybe people would be less afraid. And maybe that's part of the problem, is that we only hear about the people that escape or the people that commit another crime while they're in prison. And we don't hear about the people that are rehabilitating themselves in spite of not really having any help doing that.
It's not like the prison systems have these great rehabilitative
right.
programs.
And that's what's so amazing. It's like in spite of those really deprived conditions, people are able to really to change. And I think if more people heard about those stories, then they might be less afraid.
And we have to take a break right now. I'm talking to Rachel King, author of Capital Consequences, Families of the Condemned Tell Their Stories. And when we come back, Rachel, I'd like to talk about the first person that you write about in your book. And then I want to talk to another guest that we have here in the studio with us, Vera Thompson. Vera Thomas, she is going to talk about her son and her own personal story as a person who has a son on a death row. We'll be back. Stay with us.
In every soul, there is a man.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920. More to come following these messages.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is your Congressman, Lacey Clay, asking for your vote on March 6th to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson. A vote for Williamson is a vote for continued progress, continued redevelopment, and safer neighborhoods. He is my choice and the right choice to continue leading the ward. Alderman Frank Williamson has earned the right to be your alderman for another 4 years. Vote to re-elect 26th Ward Alderman Frank Williamson on March 6th.
Paid for by Committee to Re-elect Frank Williamson, Thelma Williamson Treasurer.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
Good morning. This is Liz Brown. And I just wanted to remind you that it's Black History Month and that I have been invited by the Friends of Julia Davis Library to speak on the issue of St. Louis Public Schools and education. So come on by, drop on in on February 18th at 2:30 at Julia Davis Library. That's 4415 Natural Bridge. February 18th at 2:30. Come and listen to me. I'd love it if you were there.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
We now take you back to the best of the wake-up call right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Words already been spoken. Tales already been told. Hearts already been broken. Wounds already been healed. Do you want to be loved? Do you want to be loved for real? Do you want to be loved for real? Do you want to be loved for real? Want to be loved
for real? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll free long distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU, or you can email me at Liz Brown, LizzBrown at sbcglobal.net. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get to me. We have much to talk about. In this hour, we are talking to author Rachel King, author of Capital Consequences, Families of the Condemned Tell Their Stories. Welcome back, Rachel. I'd like to talk to you about the first chapter in your book, and because throughout the book you tell different stories of different people. Tell us about the reason why you put this chapter in here and talk about this person.
Well, the first chapter is a chapter of Ray Crone, and he was the 100th person to be exonerated from death row during the modern death penalty era. And the name of the chapter is It Could Happen to Anyone. And I think what's scary about this chapter and why everybody living in this country should read it is that this shows you that, you know, you think that somebody you love isn't going to end up on death row, but it really could happen to anyone. And he had no criminal record whatsoever. He was such an kind of all-American guy. He was in the military, then he worked for the Postal Service. He lived in Arizona. He was kind of a bachelor athlete. He played sports. He had a lot of boy toys. He just never thought about the death penalty, never thought about criminal justice, never really thought about anything. Mm-hmm. He was just a nice guy who just was living out his life. And he became a suspect in a murder investigation when the woman bartender was raped and murdered. And this was a bar where he used to go to play darts. And she had been bitten on her breast. And the police went to question him and asked him to do a bite mark onto a piece of styrofoam. And using that cast, they ended up comparing that to the bite mark on this woman's breast and concluding that he was the primary suspect. Now, the first person, the first expert they sent this information away to, it was called a forensic odontologist, said that it was not a match. But they ignored him, and they did not give this evidence to the defense that it was not a match. They sought another expert who said it was a match, and that was what they used to base their entire case against Ray. And it took years, two convictions, and years in being on death row for him to finally be exonerated.
And one of the things I thought was interesting in the story about Ray is kind of like the family really didn't believe this was happening. They were in kind of denial about the seriousness of what was happening.
Absolutely. And, I mean, that's part of maybe the fact that they were so, like, they were from this small town in Pennsylvania. They'd never known anybody who'd been to prison. They had just, I mean, Ray wasn't even going to tell him. He was like, oh, come on, I'm innocent, of course. I'm not going to be convicted.
And that was what the real important point to this, I think, is that he knew he was innocent, and he just felt that the system would work.
Right.
The system would just, you know, because that's what the way that the system works.
Right.
And you're a former public defender, I'm a former public defender, and we know that's not how
that's
the system
right.
works.
And he, yeah, I mean, his family did not, you know, he said, I don't want you spending your money to buy an attorney. He had a court-appointed attorney. He, you know, his family didn't even come up for the trial. And you know, to everybody's shock and astonishment, he was convicted and sentenced to death.
And the challenge to that is that after the trial, it's a lot harder to death than before the trial. So the mom started contacting people after the conviction.
Right. It sure is a lot harder. And they had a hell of a time getting him off of death row. They really did. What was kind of scary about this story is that they did find a good lawyer the second time around, and he, unlike the first lawyer who never even called a defense expert to show that it wasn't the bite mark, didn't match, this guy did. And by his own investigation, he tracked down the original forensic odontologist who, because he was sending around the evidence to be viewed by experts, and this expert says, yeah, I've seen this before. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. The state said this to me. So at that point, they identified prosecutorial misconduct by not, you know, divulging this important evidence. But even so, still, the jury convicted him a second time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what was terrifying. And I'm convinced Arizona juries are a scary group of people. And it was finally, there was DNA evidence that showed that the saliva didn't match him. But really, he was only actually let out of prison after they figured out who the real killer was, and they finally found some other DNA blood on the victim's pants that they finally convinced the state to test and run through the data bank. And sure enough, they found a convicted sex offender who lived next door to the bar who basically confessed to the crime. So it was only after the family solved the crime that Ray was actually able to get out of prison. So that the system failed Ray
twice.
First of all, by having a crappy lawyer, but second of all, by having this bizarre jury that, I mean, there was reasonable doubt all over the place, but yet they convicted him. Interestingly, when I asked his family, I said, well, what do you think explains that? And they said, well, it was right after the O.J. Simpson verdict came out, and that there was this sense from some people, certainly not from me, but from some people that it had been an unfair verdict, and they didn't want somebody else to
get away with something.
So they convict Ray Crone. You know, who knows if that's the case or not, but that was part of what the family's thinking was. And, of course, the jury was primarily an all-white jury.
And that's the thing. Ray's a white male. This was an all-white jury in a largely, predominantly white state. And he was convicted twice with a bad lawyer and with crappy evidence, and he was convicted twice.
Yeah.
So when you talk to Ray about this, what is his sense of the criminal justice system now?
Well, Ray has gone from being a sort of bachelor, you know, athlete hanging out having a good time to going around the world speaking out against the death penalty and about criminal justice reform. His family's also been, you know, speaking out somewhat. They're mostly, you know, trying to just get their life back together. But he'll go anywhere people ask him to talk, and he's not a bitter person. And what's interesting is he's an amazingly articulate person. He's like a natural speaker. And Ray's mother, who's a very religious woman, believes that, you know, this was somehow supposed to happen because her son, who was a 100th person, and so his case got a lot of attention. Plus, it was a very clean exoneration in the sense that they found the actual killer. Believes that this is sort of his mission now, is to speak out against capital punishment.
And unfortunately, because of the way that the society that we live in works, because he's white and because he's male and because he was innocent on death row, makes for a more compelling argument in the eyes of many.
I think that's true. I also think the fact that he had literally no history was helpful. There was for example, this man named Juan Melendez, who is also a very good speaker, but he's Latino, and, you know, not white, middle class, but he had been in trouble with the law a lot. So it wasn't so surprising that the police would focus on him, sort of like round up the usual suspects kind of thing. But with Ray, there was no reason to suspect him. And so I think the reason why I really think everybody should learn about Ray's case is if you think, oh, it's not going to happen to me because I'm white or middle class or because I've never been in trouble with the law or blah, 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 whatever it is, don't be so sure it can't happen to you.
And then the other part of that also is just because you're innocent doesn't mean that you're going to be found innocent.
That's right.
And we're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Rachel King, author of Capital Consequences, Families of the Condemned, tell their stories. We have much to talk about. When we come back, we'll talk about a real St. Louis story. Stay with us, folks. This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. We have much, much, much to talk about. I'll be back.
You're listening to the best of The Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. More to come following these messages.
At noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one. We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call. More to come right now. This is AM 920 WGNU.
Speechless, speechless, that's how you make me feel. If I'm with you, I am far away, and nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I'm lost for words. I don't know what to say. My head's spinning like a carousel. So silently I pray. Helpless.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. I am talking to Rachel King, author of Capital Consequences, Families of the Condemned Tell Their Stories. And also in the studio with me today is Vera Thomas. And Rachel,
talk to us about why you wanted Vera's son's story in your book. Why was that story so important?
Well, I think Vera's story really represents a host of problems with the criminal justice system. Almost everything that went wrong with her son Reggie's case, anything that could go wrong, did go wrong, starting with bad representation from the get-go.
Horrible representation.
A prosecutor who, didn't provide discovery, who engaged in misconduct. Bad facts of these, just two very well-loved white women being killed, and then you've got four suspects and the white one getting a life sentence and the three African-American young men going to death row. So it just sort of just shows a lot of the problems with the death penalty. Also, I personally knew Vera from work with the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, and was really hoping that by putting this story in the book, it could actually draw attention to the story and maybe help Reggie's case.
And Vera, welcome to the Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
And why did you agree? Because as Rachel said, why did you agree and want your son's story as part of this book? Because as Rachel said, it could conceivably cause some problems for your son. Why was this important?
Well, it was important because as we move farther and farther up the ladder, consistently losing from one level to the other, that our story was not going to be heard, that we were losing ground, I felt, and that I was willing to take the chance on getting out things that I felt was not going to be told.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that need to be told about Reggie's case?
It needs to be told about all the problems from the very beginning, grand jury issues. We were subpoenaed by the prosecutor at least three or four times. Initially, we started out with that type of issues and problems. They had to wind up hiring an attorney just to be able to take the Fifth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to realize at that point that anything that we said could be used against us later in trial.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very horrible, unexpected experience. Reggie had no record, never been locked up before. We come from a middle-class family, and Reggie was very friendly with everyone. I mean, everyone's just been totally devastated from day one that have ever known him.
And you had one of the, if not the worst attorney in St. Louis, one of the top two
yes.
Worst attorneys here in St. Louis.
The top two.
Yeah. Yeah, and one out of that top two.
Yes.
Tell us quickly about the representation that Reggie received. I mean, because you all went into it as well with the understanding Reggie didn't do this,
right.
So we're going to be able to prove it to a jury, and he's going to be acquitted.
Right. We thought, sure, that it would be obvious that going back to the case that Tom Cummings, who was initially thought to be the person that caused the two girls to fall from the bridge, was actually booked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his father even made statements that we later saw in the police report that his son was a pathological liar and had concocted stories in the past. With these type of things, we're thinking, wow, you know, that this case had been resolved, but it had not, because this happened like on a Thursday night, midnight, Sunday evening. The police was at my door saying things to me like, I told them, do I need an attorney? And they told me, no, you don't need an attorney. We're going to collaborate some things, and chances are he'll be back. Well, Reggie hasn't been back yet.
Mm. And where are we now with Reggie's case, Vera?
Well, right now, Reggie we finally got relief in federal court in 2001. There was gross prosecutorial misconduct, ineffective counsel, just all the way up the line. And finally got relief from a federal judge in regard to jury issues.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we had a lot of gross prosecutorial misconduct, she did not determine at that point that it rose to that particular level, even though she did state it in her rulings. However, the judge did reverse Reggie's case, and for 2 years he was off of death row.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, within the last year or so, Jay Nixon's office appealed that. reversal, and we wind up in 8th Circuit Court. And we wind up with a panel of 3 Republican judges, one which we felt were very conservative. One judge had never did a death penalty case, and one was a moderate Republican. The case wind up overall getting reversed back. Reggie's now back on death row. We were in our last appeal now to the United States Supreme Court on technicalities, on procedural barments. We still had one judge that dissented, but he was overruled by the other 2 judges. So we're still fighting and trying to keep Reggie from getting killed.
You all are going to be, Rachel, you are going to be, and Vera, you're going to be tonight at the Genesis Coffee House at 7 o'clock at 6108 Del Mar to talk more about your book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I want to thank you both for joining us here on the Wake Up Call. Rachel King, author of Capital Consequences, Families of the Condemned Tell Their Story. And Vera, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and we're going to take a break, folks. It's 9 o'clock. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with us. We have much, much more.
You've been listening to the best of the Wake Up Call right here on AM 920 WGNU. Liz Brown will be back first thing in the morning at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Until then, we leave you with some more music from the 920 Club.
Revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers talking to the sun. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers talking to the sun.
We ain't no fool.
crowd. Fact is, we ain't even company. It's my echo, my shadow, and poor little old me. What good is the moonlight, that silvery moonlight that shines above? I walk with my shadow and talk to my echo, but where is the one I love? We will wait for you, even to eternity. My echo, my shadow,
hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, talk to my sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, talk to my sisters.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.